gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends, welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast, issue number 75 for New Comic Book Day, this October 4th, 2017. I almost said December, which is weird. I've not messed up the date for a while. You had it right. Yeah. It's been a while since I messed up the date.
Hey, well, you had it right. You got it. We're all good.
This is our 75th episode.
It is.
The 75th anniversary.
It is. We're getting close to 100, though.
I know.
We'll be here in no time.
We got 25 episodes to finish it, figure out what we're going to do for number 100.
And with 25, you know what that means for DC.
Huh?
They always do something.
Oh, yeah. They always have 25. Giant... Well, for 25. We're way past 25,
yeah,
though.
But if we're going there, we got to do something special for 100.
Well, comics in general, for every 25 issues, they do something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have anything super crazy. Well, we have something possibly in the works. And keep an eye on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and everything, and we will let you know if something happens with stuff. But we got stuff in the works. But actually, we're 25 issues away from issue number 100.
Mm-hmm.
So, Super Friends, I'm going to throw this out to you. What should we do for issue number 100?
We got some ideas.
Well, we have some ideas, yeah, but why don't we let the Super Friends give us some ideas, too?
We should start a poll up on Twitter and see what happens.
Yeah, there. We can do that. Well, you can always find us on Instagram and Twitter, or Instagram and Facebook,
mm-hmm,
as the DC Superpowers Podcast.
And on Twitter for a poll, at Superpowers DC.
Exactly. And then you can always just email us, too.
Mm-hmm,
email us at dcsuperpowerspodcast@gmail.com. And soon, we may be coming to just straight to the New World Wide Web.
Yeah, we might.
We're working on some things.
So, you know.
So there's a lot of behind-the-scenes things happening here at Superpowers.
We're moving on up, I like to say.
That's right.
We're doing bigger and better things.
But also, keep an eye at Superpowers DC on Twitter, especially this weekend. Because this weekend coming up,
New York is going to be going crazy.
The 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th,
mm-hmm,
is New York Comic Con. Now, DC Comics is definitely going to have a huge presence there. And we plan on retweeting and sending out any news we get. We're going to send it back out along the Twitter waves so that you guys can see what's going on at the same time we're seeing it.
We got to inform our listeners. If they don't get from them, you'll get from us.
Exactly. Also, the big one that I saw that we're going to talk about a little later is the Doomsday Clock. We know is coming up in November.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be great. Superman versus Dr. Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those. Remember those old supercards, Muhammad Ali supercards.
Yeah.
Muhammad Ali versus George Foreman and all these other ones. Well, Superman versus Dr. Manhattan.
This is going to be awesome. I wonder what kind of covers we're going to get because I mean we got
some of them are already in here.
But where are they? Are we going to have a shine? Are we going to be lenticular?
I don't know.
What's going on?
Well, Jeff Johns is doing a Doomsday Clock panel.
Yep, live.
The nice thing, yes, they're going to, if you go to the DC Comics Facebook page,
mm-hmm,
6 p.m., Friday, October 6th, they will be having the Doomsday Clock panel live on Facebook.
Yep.
So if you're not in New York and you can't make it to the panel there, you can watch it on Facebook. I know I'll be sitting in there watching it.
Same.
I'm planning on going to watch Blade Runner probably that night, but mm-hmm, I may have to figure out a later night time to watch it so I can actually watch the Doomsday Clock
panel.
For
me, I was going to say just pop it up on my laptop, hook it up to the TV, and there we go, HDMI
exactly,
port, and just have it on a big screen. So
actually,
that's my
TV
plan.
Actually, your TV may have a Facebook app.
Maybe. I don't have the TV like what you have, kid.
Oh, you don't have the smart TV?
Mine.
You have the PlayStation hooked up. You tell me you don't have Facebook on PlayStation?
Probably, but I don't get on Facebook on PlayStation. I have my friends on there that I game with, and that's about it. So
okay. Well, we're going to have a little bit about Comic-Con because we're going to be talking about that Doomsday Clock panel a little bit.
Definitely,
Jeff Johns put out a couple of trailers for the Doomsday Clock
already.
Yeah,
he has. The first part video is about 3 minutes on YouTube, guys, and then the part two is about 2 minutes. So,
mm-hmm,
about 5 minutes worth of material.
Exactly. So, but next week, we're going to definitely do our Comic-Con Roundup.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
So we're going to be pulling stories all weekend. We're going to retweet all the stories,
you know,
but you're going to hear our take on the stories next week on the show on issue 76.
It feels like it was like a month ago that we just did that for San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's been long, but the year.
Well, we had, what, 2 weeks ago with Salt Lake City Comic Con.
Yeah, that too.
And that
oh
one,
my goodness.
Stephen Amell, we're still getting Comic Con out of Stephen Amell.
It was like every article we found, any news breaking resource, it was all Stephen Amell.
Any camera he found, he had something for it.
Hey. Hey, hey.
Exactly. And actually, that gets us to our first story, that Stephen Amell, this is still comes right out of Salt Lake City Comic Con, mm-hmm. and Stephen Amell is still teasing fans.
Yeah.
Now, he's been doing this since they started doing Arrow.
Well, kind of, sort of, he did say at one point in 2015, no, we're not doing the goatee. We're not doing this. Stop asking me. Now it's came back up. He's like, okay, we're going to have it in there.
Exactly.
Somewhere.
He said, now the exact quote from Stephen Amell is, I promise you, before the series ends, we will have at least one shot with the iconic goatee.
So we could literally did this like we did Smallville. We're not going to see him in Superman outfit, but we did for the last scene.
Well,
it's going to literally be on the last scene of
We're
going to
talk about Smallville in a couple minutes, but...
Mm-hmm.
The promise they made, this was actually the original showrunners for Smallville, which they're not the ones that finished the show. Brian Q. Miller came on after season 5 or season 6.
I did not know that. I was not
aware
Miller
of that. It was Miller and Millar or something. Like,
Millar.
I forget who it was.
No, it's Miller. I think because everyone's pronounced it Millar. It's spelled like Millar, but it's
well,
really Miller.
Well, there was two guys that were running Smallville at the beginning, which that was so long ago that I'm racking my brain even to remember that they were there.
I don't. You got better than I do.
But if you notice, there was a diametric shift in Smallville in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It totally changed the way they were doing it.
It's kind of like
because they had actually brought in a totally new team running it.
Okay.
The original guys made the promise of no flights, no tights, no Superman on the
and
screen.
And we kind of didn't at the same time.
Yeah.
We knew what was happening, but we didn't see him actually in his full-fledged suit.
Exactly. Last episode, all bets were off because... This brought you from Smallville. Brought you from 10 seasons
mm-hmm.
from him figuring out
on
that he had
farm.
Powers out of nowhere, all the way up to becoming Superman
in Metropolis.
And he had 10 years to do it.
Yep. And Tom Willing, that's a lot of dedication. Thanks, man. A lot of people, I mean, some people just leave the show; they get bored. Then they have to hire a new actor.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that here in a couple minutes because we have some Tom Willing news.
Oh yeah, finally he's back in the news for
exactly.
DC.
But before that, Stephen Amell said, we are going to see the goatee. This is another one, like we said, no flights, no tights. Well, mm-hmm. Stephen Amell at one point said we would never see.
We're not going to goatee. We're just going to keep that beard on.
Exactly. But looks like as of now, he will be at some point doing it. Now, he was trolling fans some. They says, as the date of the sixth season actually got closer, Stephen was actually asked more and more about the goatee, and he was even spotted with longer facial hair
mm-hmm.
before actually just shaving it off before when he was getting ready for season
six.
So he was trolling some people, too. I mean, Stephen Amell has owned this role of Oliver Queen.
Oh, yeah, he has.
He has picked up and said, you know what, I know who this is, and this I'm gonna mess with people if I want to mess
with
people.
And also, it sounds like from what he's doing, he sounds like he's trying to get more of a comic book accurate Green Arrow. I mean, if you look at his costume now to what's going on in the Rebirth, it is literally the same costume.
Yeah.
So he's working for it, and I'm hoping for that green tea sooner than later.
Oh, yeah.
I got to rewatch this, but from what this article is saying, he was in the Legends of Tomorrow episode where he appeared in the future 2046. He was rocking a gray goatee.
Yeah.
So,
that's actually really a full beard.
Full beard. But you see how it just, you know.
Yeah, no.
Shaped just a little downward. But that's close we got. So they said until we see the full goatee while he's young, we can keep going back to Legends of Tomorrow to see him when he's the old man, Ollie.
Yeah. Well, actually, let's go ahead and bump the Stephen or the... Let's not hide it till the end. We got the Tom Welling news.
All right, let's go, Tom.
Let's get the Tom Welling news, and then we'll go back to the Titan story.
All right, that's fine.
But Tom Welling, now the website or the blog site looks like Nuke the Fridge got this story.
I love that name, by the way.
Yeah. Well, Louis Leca from Nuke the Fridge was actually at, let me find the name of the party, for over 10 years, Smallville, the Fox's Fall TV lineup party in Hollywood. The last week or the week before. And everybody knows at this point, Tom Welling's going
to
be on Lucifer this season.
Yeah,
this is
his
first major acting role since
Smallville. Yeah.
Because after Smallville, all of them were burned out. They were done.
Oh,
he's like,
dude.
You know what? We're done. I don't want to do anything else. Tom Welling has done producing and things mm-hmm. since then. He's probably done some little bit roles here and there.
I think
he's
done a couple little teeny roles, and it wasn't a lot.
But I know, actually, Tom Welling was on Rosenberg.
Rosenbaum has
his own podcast now.
Okay.
And Tom Welling was on there for one episode.
And I remember you telling
me
about
that.
So
it was actually Welling and Rosenbaum talking and laughing and having a good time about Smallville. Lex Luthor and Clark Kent back together.
By the way,
again.
Guys, I just want to put that out there. Rosenbaum and me share the same birthday.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, now you just got to shave your head.
Not yet.
Well, he doesn't have a shiny head anymore.
I was just going to say, he did play Wally West. Wally West kept his locks. He just wore a mask. Like, I wear my hat.
But at this party, this Luis Luca actually was talking to Welling, and now Smallville was done in 2011,
mm-hmm.
but people still want to see more, and that's maybe why the since the Flash has introduced multiple universes, opening the possibility of bringing any character from other DC shows, even like we've had Mark Hamill,
yep.
who was the Trickster in the 1990s Flash series. Reprise the role of Trickster on a different Earth in Flash.
Yeah, and that's why. And I could have sworn, remember a couple days ago we were talking. I'm like, Smallville was in his Flash, or not his Flash, but I put that time portal. And it's like, no, it wasn't, but it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really think that was one that should have been in there.
When I believe the first time that Barry was going through the Speed Force,
we
actually saw the image of the Flash on top of the police. Station from the 90s Flash series.
Yep. And we saw that's from the Legion Ring.
Yeah, the Legion Ring, which we know is teasing into what's coming up in Supergirl this season, because mm-hmm. we know Saturn Girl is coming to Supergirl at some yep. point.
And I'm a little curious about the actress that's playing her, too. I'm like, that doesn't look anything like Saturn Girl, but we can be said a lot.
We'll
of
find out. I still think that Melissa Benoist isn't blonde enough.
I know, and we were talking about that. It's like,
I
like her. She has the attitude, but she doesn't, to me, really look like Supergirl.
Yeah.
I guess some people say Grant Gustin doesn't look like Flash or Barry either.
Well.
But he has the personality down pat.
Yeah, well, Barry's supposed to be blonde also, I believe.
Yeah, that's my point. Yeah, so.
But back to Tom Welling. Now, Luis talked to Tom Welling at a party for the Fox's fall TV lineup, where he was starring in the next season of Lucifer. Now, Tom actually on the podcast was saying that originally they were looking at maybe 4, maybe 5 episodes of having him in there. He actually Tom Welling talked them into giving a bigger role, and mm-hmm. he's got like 15 of the 20 episodes.
I think it's funny that it's still a DC property.
Yes,
DC
it
comic
is.
Property. So.
And he's well aware of that.
Oh, yeah. It's his home. I feel like it just gives me a good place in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I was going to say, Tom Welling is a lot of people's standard for a Superman.
Yes. Well, there's an entire generation
yeah.
that he was the only Clark Kent they ever saw on screen.
That was
because a lot of people, I think the Brandon Routh Superman Returns actually flew under the radar for a lot of people.
I mean, even if it didn't fly under the radar.
I enjoyed it. I see the problems.
Yeah, I seen the problems,
too. I see the problems, but it was still Superman. He was still Superman for me.
Well, I say the same thing about Ryan Reynolds playing Green Lantern. I know
yeah.
how that was like,
oh, I
thought he
it.
Was great as Hal Jordan.
Yes.
So I liked him in that, but the same way I like Brandon Routh as Superman, but there was a lot of flaws. But anyways, I really think no one can be the better Lex Luthor than Rosenbaum.
Oh. Yeah, Rosenbaum did a great Lex Luthor. Well, recently, though, Tom Welling has been asked about going on Supergirl, but he feels that his version of Clark Kent is not going to fit the tone of that show.
Yeah, it would not fit the tone of this show. Also, I was thinking he could just come in there as a different character. He doesn't have to be anything
yeah.
related to Superman. He could be
all the other cameos they brought in. None of them played their original character.
No. So that's why I'm like, he would fit in perfectly mm-hmm. for this.
Well, the big news is coming. It says, now he wouldn't fit the tone of the show. After the long conversation about the Flash and the multiverses, Tom told Luis that the following: I am willing to go on the Flash, and I have a few ideas of how it could happen if the network asks me. In fact, I think I can make it happen. Now, you might be thinking that there's already a Superman and Supergirl.
Yeah.
But the thing is, multiverses.
Right.
In the Flash, it can connect to multiple different Flashes and different Supermans. Because mm-hmm. you remember, Grant Gustin is Flash for Earth Prime or Earth One.
Yeah.
I think they're calling it Earth One.
Okay.
But you look at Jay Garrick is the Flash of Earth Three.
Right.
And Jesse Quick is the Flash of Earth Two.
Technically, from the flashback or whatever you want to call that, in the portal he was going through in the Speed Force. He was also a Flash on another one from
exactly.
the 90s, so he technically was two Flashes already.
Yeah, John Wesley Shipp has been two different Flashes in there. So there could that, but since there's multiple characters that are the Flash or actors who are the Flash, technically
mm-hmm.
there
yeah.
could be multiple actors who have been Superman.
Because technically, Wally is a Flash too,
which is a great idea. I mean, imagine it was like Earth 75 is the Smallville universe.
Mm-hmm.
We could actually you could bring in Tom Welling. You could bring in Justin Hartley as Arrow.
Oh yeah,
you could bring in all of them. They had their version of the Justice League
already. They had the Flash Impulse,
and we are toying Cyborg. With other versions. Because remember, we talked last week that the crossover for this season is Crisis on Earth X, and
or
it's
Earth
actually
10,
two
whatever you want to call it,
two different Justice Leagues, for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. fighting against each other.
By the way, I did find out about that while we're speaking of it. That is Prometheus we saw on that poster, but it's not the same Prometheus from Earth 1.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know who it could be.
Huh.
They didn't say. So, we'll find out when that comes out. Hopefully, we do.
Yeah, and one of the cool things there is the fact that Tom Welling, actually, since he's a producer and stuff now, he actually has some pull, a little bit of pull in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. He could actually make this happen if he really wants it to happen.
And he has the skill.
I don't think he could force it to happen, but he knows talk to the right people.
Right.
And I have a feeling that if he would talk to Berlanti or Kreisberg or any of these guys up on the top of this or the production company,
CW
would love this.
Oh, geez, he's coming back right into the office.
You imagine where the ratings would go in this?
Oh, yeah. It's like Tom Welling's coming back and he wants to do something with this new property of DC or television universe. Heck yeah.
We know that Smallville didn't end because the ratings were low or because the network wanted it to go away.
No.
We see that with Supernatural. Supernatural is going on to season 12 or 13 this season.
Things should have ended a while ago, but
they
keep
giving more money and they keep getting the ratings.
We're getting a crossover? What are we getting a crossover?
No, they're supposed
to
be teasing. I think a Scooby-Doo crossover has been in the works or something. And then they keep teasing Stephen Amell showing up on the show somewhere or the them showing up on Arrow. So, but
for me,
we don't know what's going on.
I was hoping Constantine could have got in there. That would have been a perfect.
Oh yeah, Constantine would work perfect with that.
Someone needs to write a comic book of Constantine with Supernatural guys coming in there. I need that in my life.
Part of the problem though is I don't think when it comes to some of this is that Smallville, the comic books are not DC Comics comic books.
Really?
If I remember, I think IDW or someone has them.
Really?
I'd have to look it up.
Okay.
But I know there are some Supernatural comics.
Oh, Supernatural.
Supernatural.
Okay.
No,
that
Supernatural,
makes sense.
I believe, is IDW or Dark Horse. One of those has it.
I can believe that, though.
Or it could be Titan Books, even.
It could be.
I don't know. But, and we have one other TV one that I mentioned Titan Books. Well, this is Titans News. And you had this story.
Let me get to me real quick.
Ah, okay.
There we are. Okay, guys. And it seems like I've been looking online, and there's been a lot of rumors on there. Last time it was Hawk and Dove, I mentioned that they might be coming.
They've been cast. Well, no, not might. We actually got the casting for it.
This was in the beginning, and then a couple weeks later, they actually were cast. I heard about Robin getting a partner. They're calling him Robin in this article, which I'm...
Well, no, we know that Dick Grayson is going to be Robin at the beginning, at least.
Okay. Well, and here Dick Grayson has a partner, same that he did in the comic books, and it seems like this is going to be happening on the show as well. So Dick Grayson is now casted by Brandon Thwaites. He's the one portraying the character. And in the comic books of Nightwing Volume 2, Issue 48, Dick Grayson joined Bloodhaven Police Department.
Now, this is the New 52 Nightwing, wasn't it?
No, this is...
I don't remember. Oh, this was before that?
Yeah, this is 2010.
Okay, so this is just before
New 52. Yeah, that came out in 2011.
Yeah, New 52 started in 2011.
So before all that went down, he joined the Bloodhaven Police Department, and he had a partner on there. And she was actually Nis Nye's partner. She was also she was a training officer. And let me find her name. Her name was Amy. Oh no, Amy Rurbax is now the actress that's playing Lindsay Gort.
No, Lindsay Gort is the actress. Amy Rohrbach
is the character.
The character.
Well, Amy was his partner, and she also found out his secret identity on the police force of Nightwing. But even when he left the police department, she still kept his secret a secret. It's unknown exactly right now what the plot line will be for Titans and which part she's going to play and how big of a part she's going to play. But she is cast as the show, and she will be on at least a couple of the first episodes.
Awesome.
So
this will give some of the so it looks like actually we are getting a Nightwing that's already or a Robin at the beginning of this at least that's already moved out from behind
Batman.
Bruce's shadow.
Yeah, that's what I think I read that in one of the articles or seen on a YouTube video. He is transitioning right now. In the beginning of the show, he will not be Nightwing.
So all the pictures they've been showing of the new Teen Titans covers and stuff from the early 80s is where we're getting this. Because you remember the very beginning of New Teen Titans, for the first couple of issues, he was Robin.
Right.
But very rapidly, he was already away from Batman.
Batman,
and he
decided
he became Nightwing.
Right.
Within like 10 or 15 issues or less.
Yeah, and I've noticed even from the 90s animated series, Robin was a little older than what he was described in the comic books.
Well,
he was already in college.
Yeah. Well, the animated series, the first Robin we get in the animated series, because there's two Robins in the animated series.
Right, but the first one,
Dick Grayson. The first one was Dick Grayson in college, and that's why he was only in certain episodes.
Right, and that's why in this new show I can see him being an older character, and now he's like, hey, I'm not Robin, but I was Robin, but I'm older, and I'm getting too old.
Now he's trying to figure out, he's trying to figure out, without being Robin, what is he?
Exactly, so this fits in perfectly with how we see Robin today, or Nightwing today.
So this show is rapidly coming together. We know we still don't even know any of the details about the DC streaming service.
No, we don't. As far as we know, there's only two different shows that's going to be on there, which is Young Justice.
Well, we're guaranteed two shows.
Right. Young Justice and Titans.
Well, if they're going to do theirs, anything like what Disney has said with theirs, because Disney has said that Bob Iger was talking about how they have over 7,000 hours of television available. Yeah. Over 5,000 movies that they can, that they're going to have on the Disney streaming service, including Marvel and Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
So
and
all of that is going to the streaming
stuff
service.
On Netflix is going to be on there.
If Warner Brothers does this with DC, we have hundreds of hours of television. Because if not, in Smallville, you have hundreds of hours of television.
Yeah, and if you look here, we have Birds of Prey, we have the Super Friends, we have their animated movies.
We have, we have television, you could go back, television all the way back into the 50s, and movies back into the 40s, with the, remember the old serials?
I wish they would go back that far. What year did the Superman cartoon
Come out? Well, the serials and the Max Fleischer cartoons were all from the 40s.
That was the 40s, okay. Oh, I want that back. So, they had that on Netflix for a while, and they took it off like right when I was getting my subscription. I think I only watched it like
twice. The Max Fleischer commercial or cartoons?
Yeah.
I think I have an extra copy of those, man. There's only like six of them.
That was it?
There's only six or nine of them total.
I want to say nine.
Because, well, I have the Batman Ultimate or Superman Ultimate Edition Blue DVD set.
Do you?
Remember that? It came with the four, the five movies, and then it was like nine discs worth of content.
Oh, okay.
There's all kinds of stuff.
I have the Batman one of the movies from the 89 to the 90s, but that's all I got.
So, but that's what's coming with Titans. And, actually, wait a minute. There was... Because we're talking about movies. There's a story I didn't put in here. Because we've skipped it the last 2 weeks. But talking about the movies, I have that Superman Ultimate Edition.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go out and buy another Superman Blu-ray, though, of the original Superman.
Why you have to buy another?
Back in... the movie was made in 77, correct? It was somewhere 77 or 78. Okay. I'm foggy because I was born right before that.
I was going to say that was way before me.
Well, the first time it was played on TV was on ABC, and it was actually a two-night event.
Of course, that'd be ABC.
Because they had actually the TV version of it was an expanded three-hour run of the movie.
They even did that back then.
So I know that's a thing now. It was an expanded three-hour run of the movie that they did over two nights, and it made it an event. Well, Warner Brothers has cleaned it up and is releasing on Blu-ray the three-hour version of Superman. And
oh, cool.
I guess there's some scenes in there that have not been seen since it was on ABC.
Hmm.
I mean, even with the Ultimate Edition, with all the special features and all the bonus stuff they've put on there, they still haven't released everything. Well, this is supposed to, and then also, it's got a shorter run special edition on it. So it's a two-disc set, or two-movie set.
I might have to
coming to Blu-ray, and it's supposed to be out before the end of the year.
You know what? I know what I'm doing. My mom loves, she's about a big Superman fan as you are, so I can just get that for her for Christmas and watch it with her.
You can get it for me for Christmas.
I could do that. I can get both of you guys one for Christmas.
Well, hang on. Let me look this up. Amazon might have it now. As I'm doing
pre-order
this on the fly. And, well, I'm not worried about pre-ordering. I just want to see if I can get the release date for it.
Hopefully they give it out. Amazon's pretty good about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, Amazon will let you know what the release date's on stuff, even if they're not supposed to.
Didn't they do that for Star Wars or something? They spoiled something for us?
Oh, like, they're doing that all the time.
Like, wait a minute. This is Amazon for you, but thank you. We appreciate all that.
Here we go. Actually, it's coming up quick.
Oh, is it next
It's coming up. It actually just released.
Oh.
It released today. It is the... Yes. Actually, we're recording on the 2nd. It releases tomorrow on the 3rd. It's Superman the Movie Extended Cut and Two-Film Collection. It's Superman the Movie the Extended Cut and Superman the Movie Special Edition. They have it $21.99 on Prime, and it releases on October 3rd.
Well, there you go.
So,
less than 24 hours away.
That's right. And so anybody who's a fan of the original Christopher Reeve Superman, this is a must-have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, from everything you just told me about the content, I'm a sucker for anything that's like, here's extended stuff. I want to see it. Give me more material. That's why I'm a fan of it. So I'm going to have to get that for one of you guys or both of you.
Well, transitioning more into movies... We actually, Warner Brothers has, is, now all the controversy about, anybody who's been watching the Warner Brothers and DC movie sites and things has seen, there's been a lot of controversy.
Do I can
about, What is the extended universe? Well, this movie's not part of the extended universe.
Oh my God.
This is part of the universe.
Like,
no, wait. They're all part of the universe.
Months.
They're all not a part of the universe.
He's not in here. She's not in here.
Exactly.
She's not directing this. He's not going to be the one. It's just been a
Warner Brothers has
mess.
No idea what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, and also, I'm not
the studio
gonna,
side.
Right. Studio side, they don't know. And also, it's all these articles and, I want to say, a little bit of vultures in there trying to make these news sources confusing mm-hmm. people even further because they don't really know.
Hey, they're just trying to get hits. So they put a lot of their websites are putting out
the same thing.
As soon
thing,
as they hear a headline, they put it out there without checking everything out. Well, this one is Warner Brothers. According to Warner Brothers, the term DC Extended Universe is not an official Warner Brothers title for these movies.
No, this
That's
is not
what they call these movies.
No, at the office, at the studio, they do not go by the name of Extended DCEU. That's something. Where's the name? You're gonna help me with his name because I'm gonna butcher it. Skatowice.
Where are you at?
Right here.
Okay.
Skatowice. I'm trying to get that last name right. Keith.
Staskiwiz. I don't know.
I'm gonna call you Keith. But Keith sat down and he was in an interview and this is what he said. It was my own phrasing.
Hang on. Let me see here. The term DC users discuss. The first time the term actually showed up mm-hmm. was in Entertainment Weekly
yep.
on July of 2015 in an article. It was quickly adopted by pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
And it made sense. Except that, no one officially involved with the movies themselves ever used that term.
No.
And as it turns out, the term was never something that Warner Brothers ever gave to Entertainment Weekly to mm-hmm. use.
We still don't know really what they called it.
Exactly. Well, for those interested, here's how it came about, according to this. Abraham Reisman wrote an article on DC movies over at Vulture, which included an interview with DC Films president Jeff Johns, as well as DC Entertainment president Diane Nelson, which we'll get to them here in a couple minutes, too, because they're still they're talking about stuff, too. We got a lot of DC people trying to fix what's going on out there.
And I respect DC for doing this. It seems like mm-hmm. anytime there's a problem, like, oh, we got to get on the social media or get on some site or get an article going so people can understand what we have our intentions of.
Yeah. Well, while writing his story, Reisman said that Warner Brothers told him no one at the company ever uses the term DC Extended Universe and that it's not official.
Mm-hmm.
Now, intrigued, Reisman looked closer at the origins of the DC Extended Universe term and discovered that in the 2015 Entertainment Weekly article written by Keith Staskiewicz?
Keith.
That's who it was written by.
Yeah.
Now, Reisman managed to track him down, and I guess this guy has no Twitter, Facebook, or website,
mm-mm.
so it's not easy to do. And then you had the quote and stuff here.
Yeah, he said, it was my own phrasing when I use a story. Just seemed like a kind of thing they call it. I just looked back on the piece, and now I've noticed, and he says this is happening in my mind, a little trademark symbol I gave it, and it was like, whoops. So, and I see why he called it that, because if you look at the counterparts we have, they are called the Marvel,
well,
the MCU.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe,
yeah.
Star Wars for years, the
what does Star Wars call it?
In Star Wars, when there was multiple levels of canon,
yeah,
there was the movies, which a lot of people called G-level canon. It was George Lucas says, the only things that really affect story that you have to follow is the movies and what he's put on TV.
Hmm.
So it was the six movies and the Clone Wars TV series. That's it.
Oh, really?
That was canon.
Ah.
But you also, when you
had
the
books,
they were called,
right.
A lot of times the books were referred to as the Star Wars Expanded Universe.
Okay, now that's
so
what I'm used to. I was used to that.
Had to keep in line with what was in the books.
Right.
But the movies and TV could change whatever they wanted.
And the video games.
And the video games were a totally separate level of canon.
Okay.
They didn't have to actually follow anything, really.
Because that's what I was used to was the books as a kid and the video games.
Yeah. Well, that's why that's why Disney changed when they came in and said, you know what? We're taking everything that came before and setting it aside and calling that Legends and starting canon restarting canon from scratch so that they weren't stuck trying to figure out what happened here.
And to a certain extent, kind of sounds like what DC is doing. Now, this was just how all this name came about with all of this confusion. But DC doesn't have this. And in another article we're going to break down a little bit more of what is actually going on at DC. Because there's been a lot of stuff going around now where people are saying, oh, DC Films are not going to do their shared universe.
Oh, it does say here that Warner Brothers does have its official brand that they call DC Films. It even has its own Facebook page. But still, the term Extended Universe is pretty catchy, so they don't know if it'll be dropping off anytime soon, official or otherwise. So, but as of right now, the movies are just called DC Films.
And let it go.
And we'll find out here in just a minute from Jeff Johns and
Diane.
What was that? Diane Nelson?
Mm-hmm.
That what exactly is DC Films?
Yeah. I was saying I can sum that one up.
Yep. Well, because the next story actually... Oh, no. The next story doesn't get into that yet.
Oh, okay,
the next
story
is... yeah, the next story I have on here is actually Jeff Johns talking about he wanted to see from Man of Steel.
Same thing all the real Superman fans wanted.
Remember, Jeff Johns was officially hired by DC Films after Man of Steel and Batman v Superman were pretty much both wrapped up.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad was about three quarters of the way done already when he stepped in.
And Wonder Woman,
hadn't even really started yet.
No.
So that's why Wonder Woman, you notice, has a totally different tone.
Totally.
And it has a totally different feel to it than the other movies. Well, Jeff Johns actually would, if he was in charge during Man of Steel,
in 2013,
he would have had a much lighter tone, or he would have wanted a much lighter tone.
So for...
Now what?
Honestly, I know me and you have gone back and forth. I really enjoyed everything up to the end of Man of Steel with the neck break.
Yeah.
I thought Man of Steel was great because it was like, here's a premature Superman, really. This is him coming into Superman without going through Superboy.
Yeah.
We didn't see his background in high school still like we did in Smallville. So I thought it was pretty good. I know he's going to destroy some cities and stuff because he's Superman. He doesn't know. But that end, I'm like,
well,
okay,
even in the comic books, he's still smashing cities.
Yeah, I feel like he's a little bit more careful. And this one, he's a little bit more careless.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, you knew where his heart was going, but the snapping the neck of Zod, I'm like, that could have been avoided.
Yeah. Well, according to the article from comicbook.com, it was many Superman fans were disappointed with the dark and dreary tone of Zack Snyder's Man of Steel in 2013, which we talked about it on the show at length, that that's not the Superman I wanted to see.
Right. It wasn't the Superman I was used to.
Yeah. Well, it says mainly since the comics had always been more of the lighthearted side.
Mm-hmm.
Batman is dark, Superman is light. That's
right.
The way it works.
That's it.
They're almost the yin and yang of the DC universe.
Right.
It looks like fans were not the only ones that had that mindset when they saw the film. DC Entertainment's Chief Creative Officer Jeff Johns, which everybody knows who Jeff Johns is. He's all over everywhere.
I wanted to correct them on here. He is a fan.
Well, yeah.
He's a fan with high power.
Exactly. Well, apparently he took some issue with the way Superman's story was told also. Now, this is... We're back to Vulture.
I like
according
these guys.
According to Vulture... A source close to the production claims that Johns wasn't happy with the scene of Superman snapping Zod's neck, which that was my one sticking point for that movie. It's like Batman and Superman have one rule.
Yeah,
no one dies.
Yeah, like I said, I was fine with the whole movie. I knew it was a darker tone, but it was a little different. And plus, also, I wasn't so mad at it because I knew this was probably going to happen. If anybody remembers, Christopher Nolan did produce this. And I just felt like with his name being in there, with Zack Snyder directing this, like The Watchmen, I just knew what I was going to expect.
Well, with me in the comic books, though, especially those two heroes, there's one rule. No one dies.
Right. And that was my problem. Because by the end, I'm like, oh, man, look what's happening. He's going to fly up into our... What's he going to do? Snap. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well,
that was different.
It says Johns, he tried to fight for what he felt was true to the character, but no one actually listened to him then because he wasn't working in the movie.
Exactly.
Now, this is a quote here. It says, Jeff Johns and Diane Nelson...
I say, right, so shut up and go to the side. We got this.
Yeah. Well, Jeff Johns and Diane Nelson were reading scripts, and Jeff Johns, to his credit... was concerned that there was not enough lightness or humor, given who the character is, recalled the source that had told them about this. Jeff definitely raised the point, but that current administration didn't care that much about what Jeff Johns thought. That's funny, because now he's president of DC Films.
Be careful on whose feet you step on.
Uh-huh. Well, as everyone will probably remember, the film was actually released in 2013 with all the dark tones that... John's opposed, and a sequel is supposed to be happening at some point.
Please.
And you can bet that more than likely, John's will have some influence on this.
And I'm actually happy.
Oh, go ahead.
What were you gonna say?
No, go ahead.
I was happy to know that with everything that was going around the time, Batman versus Superman was slate and for Man of Steel 2.
Mm-hmm.
That was on the plan for DC.
Yeah.
And then, well, you know how that went. But I'm glad that didn't happen because that still would have been a darker Superman. I want my light Superman. And now, since everything has went into place, we will get our Superman 2,
looks like
looking lighter.
And also, it looks like since they killed Superman and Batman v Superman.
Right.
Spoiler alert for anybody, but if you're watching this show or listening to this show,
you're a year behind.
You should know that at this point, you know what happened at Batman v Superman. But since they can actually bring him back and change the character just a little bit if they need to.
They can tweak him a lot. And for me, I feel like this is going to be his actual rebirth. Not the comic book, but the rebirth of Superman. This is going to be him showing a lighter tone. I guess technically like the rebirth comic books, because New 52, that's where they were basing this off of. And if you go back to the original script that Zack Snyder was going for, the whole part one and part two of Justice League, I told you that was the Justice League comic book that just came out for volume one of the New 52 and what they based the animated movie Justice League War off of.
Yes.
Which was, when I first saw that, I went over, Ty's been on the show. I went over in his brother's house, watched it first time. I did not like what I saw. I didn't like how they were portraying Billy Max, and I didn't like how they were portraying Hal Jordan. And Ty didn't like how they were portraying Flash. They said they took away a lot of his comedy and gave it more so to Hal Jordan.
Yeah. It's just the New 52, we've said this before. It's like we've moved past it.
Mm-hmm.
The New 52 was, in my opinion, a dark time for DC Comics.
It wasn't a dark time for them.
It wasn't what anybody grew up with reading with DC Comics.
No.
Other than from what I've heard, Batman was pretty good.
I was going to say Batman was the same.
But Superman was almost unrecognizable.
Yeah.
A lot of the hope and stuff was taken away from Flash, from what I've been told.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of stuff that totally
missed. I'm still saying they made Green Lantern stupid. Well, I thought like Hal Jordan's. They made Hal Jordan like Guy Gardner.
Okay.
You shouldn't have that.
No. Well, also we got you had Batman dating Wonder Woman.
I put that in the back part of my mind, but this was all the time around before Jeff Johns got in there, and this was the slate that they had planned for. They were trying to make, and I do respect that DC did want to make their movies like the comic books. I'm always going to be a fan of that, but if the comic books at the time are not something fans like, we don't want that either on the big screen. So I'm now glad that they got into this rebirth stage, and now they actually seem like they're doing a rebirth with their films.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is, you got to remember, Justice League is the second movie now with Geoff Johns and Diane Nelson in charge of DC Films.
Yes.
She is actually, Diane Nelson is the president of DC Entertainment.
With Johns
and Geoff Johns
CCO.
Being the CCO of DC Comics and, I believe, president or co-president, or I don't remember exactly his exact position with DC Films.
Yeah.
But they're finally letting, you got to remember, the DC, we just watched the video. I forget who was. Let's plug that video. What was the video that you just showed me with about the way they were filming the movies?
Emergency Awesome.
Emergency Awesome, is that the channel?
Shout out to you, Emergency Awesome. You're good at what you do. Thank you.
Exactly. The points he was making were great. That the points he brought up was when Warner Brothers first started making the DC Films universe now.
Yeah.
It was, they did not bring in any comic book guys to do this.
No, these are all business people.
They were all business and film guys.
Yeah.
And they really didn't want anything to do with comic books. They're like, you know what? We know how to make movies.
Right.
This is what I've been saying since way back to...
In like 2015, 2014?
Exactly. Well, all the way back to Superman Returns.
Oh,
all the way through everything that... All the ones that have been missteps is... Or even back like things like Wild Wild West that we've talked about. When Kevin Smith was writing Superman and stepped away from it.
I have this funniest thing. You know about the spider, right?
Yes.
Why? Well, it was Warner Bros. We got to put a spider in something.
Exactly.
Spider.
We talked about this.
Why do you... Why? Who voted for this?
Exactly.
We don't need that anything.
That's old school movies. Well, they finally are starting to learn, looks like, and they have comic book people making comic book movies.
Yeah.
Look at what Marvel did. The greatest thing they did was when Disney bought Marvel and said, okay, we're going to make movies, they said, okay, Marvel, make movies. You make comic books. You know how this works. Make the movies.
And I think
guess what? Marvel Films.
And I think
it works.
A generational gap because, to be honest with you, I think a lot of like our era, I guess technically kind of from a different era, but we like the same things because of what we love as comic book fans.
Yes, that's because your mom was awesome.
That I told
that's
you
why we like the same things.
Everything about me, my mom. Thank you. But it was one of those times where it's like business people. As long as we can make movies off of this name, we can make money. Well, the fans growing up on there is like, oh, man, I love this movie. Let me do some research. Like, for me, let me get the comic books. Now I became a bigger fan. So when I go to the movies, I expect to see what I've read. But it's not always like that. It's just, here's the name of something on the big screen. For example, Steel.
Catwoman.
Look at,
there's just a whole list of things that Warner Brothers deciding to that, you know what? We make movies. We know how to make movies. Yeah. Let's make movies.
You need more than that. You need a fan base, because without the people paying to see your...
Yeah, you need to know the material you're making.
They're not just going for entertainment no more. They're actually going for value.
Exactly. But getting back on track here, we got Jeff Johns and Diane Nelson were actually talking again.
Mm-hmm.
This time talking... Now, I told you how continuity has been a big thing over the last month at least.
And if you...
Of what's in canon, what movies are going to be in canon, what are not in canon, are all...
This is all over the place.
Totally by itself. This one, these ones here go all work together.
That's
actually
not
kind of where they're going with the animated universe, which I'm not liking. That they have two separate sets of movies. Remember, we were talking about this. They have the continuity movies of Justice League movies, the Titans movies, these that have been going together.
To be honest, you know why that's a problem.
Well, then we got...
My theory, at least.
Where we got...
Well, like, once again, they're basing these new animated movies off the New 52.
Well, yeah, but no. Those movies are working though. I think right now,
they're not working.
the Titans we thought was a pretty good one. The Judas Contract Titans one.
That was fine.
Those are the ones I'm talking about. The Justice League versus Titans, the Titans Judas Contract, those ones. But the other side is the standalone movies.
But I was just saying, I have
like
one
stumbling.
I just have one problem with the Titan movies. I liked everything they did except for the one thing. All the fans hate it if you know Nightwing. Why is he wearing red? It's not a big thing, but
for me,
little things like that, I'm like,
comic books change enough that doesn't bother me that much. If Flash was put into like black with red accents, that wouldn't bother me that much.
Really?
No, because it's something you can change later. It's not that different.
Huh. I was going to say, how do you feel if they made Superman just completely red and black? Like, just took away all his blue?
As long as it's not a permanent thing. Now, you realize this is not going to be a permanent thing.
I know. But
breathe, Vernon.
Breathe.
It's an artistic.
Oosa.
Wait. It's not a character choice.
It's not.
It's a because if you look, the character of Nightwing is there.
Yeah. He's still there. He's still there. Everything
it's just
from
a color
the
choice.
Judas contract from happening in the comic book. Same scene of Slade fighting. I get
it's
that.
It's not a character choice. It was a color choice.
It was a color choice.
Okay.
Okay.
But continuity movies like that have been phenomenal.
They've been doing
good.
Yeah, and even
but the standalone movies is where they're stumbled.
Yeah,
remember we talked about this ad nauseum, but the Killing Joke felt like it was two movies crammed into one, and they did two of them because they decided they didn't have enough material for the one.
Yeah.
What was the next one the one they just put out?
Batman, Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn and Batman. Felt like it was a 45-minute movie they extended to an hour and a half.
Yeah, and it did feel like the animated series back for like the older audience that we grew with.
For some of it, yes.
But then it felt like, why is this in the movie? This could have been something that was shot on TV for two episodes.
Exactly. So it seems like that's the problem, the line they're skirting back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
They're extending stuff that should be shorter to too long.
And when they first came out.
One of the smartest things I think they did, like with the Superman Shazam DVD that you have sitting out here, is they actually took three or four stories and said, you know what, none of these feel like they're long enough to make a movie. So let's put out a movie or a DVD with multiple stories in it.
And I loved it. That's probably my favorite out of all the DC movies I have. It's probably my favorite because I can get more than one story when
exactly.
They're all separated.
You get more than one story, but they didn't expand any of those to where they felt like you were stretching them.
Yeah, and I think the Shazam feature was actually probably about a good 30 minutes at the max.
I know. That's all it needed.
Yeah. And I was fine with it. I loved it.
So, but talking about continuity, Jeff Johns and Diane Nelson were talking about continuity.
Yes. Now, just one time, this is to rephrase everything and fix. This is why they came in with this article so people would know. If you've been hearing any news articles, the Joker and Batman movie won't be in the same thing. Batman's not going to be in the universe. Aquaman's not going to be in the universe. This is a standalone movie. Wonder Woman's a standalone movie. This is what they mean by standalone movie. They're not saying they are connected, but when they get down to standalone, they mean we don't need to have a Wonder Woman movie with Batman in the whole picture. We don't need a Superman movie with Aquaman in the whole thing. We don't need an Aquaman movie with just let them be their characters.
Yeah.
They don't need the other ones. But this was
this is actually kind of, weren't we calling that a while ago when people were doing the knee-jerk reaction about this? We were calling it the same thing, that, you know what, let them do what they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
These movies are going to be all part of the same universe, but not every character has to be in every movie.
Exactly. Well, after I get down this, I got an example that's been happening recently. Our intention, certainly moving forward using the continuity to help make sure nothing is diverting in a way that it doesn't make sense. But there's no instances upon an overall story of line of interconnectivity in the universe. What they mean by that is they're trying to just go forward with one character. They don't want too many characters in one movie for
Wait, Aquaman. A Warner Brothers movie that doesn't have six stories all in one?
Or, I don't know, seven characters in one movie?
I know.
Batman versus Superman. Then this is a problem we talked about before that Jeff Johns
even had. We talked about that with Green Lantern was three different stories.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about how many times. Yeah, that.
There was three stories crammed into one. Batman v Superman was at least two stories, if not three there.
The best part of it was seeing the trend for me. And now then Nelson also commented on this. Some of the movies do connect characters together like Justice League, but like Aquaman, our goal is not to connect Aquaman to every movie. The movie is not about another movie.
Well, comic book fans understand this anyway.
Yeah.
Because in comic books, we have Justice League. It has the eight main characters in it. But then you have each of them have their own individual books that doesn't have everybody else in it.
And it's a different
timeline.
Everybody
has their own city that they're taking care
of. Right. This new Batman movie, this will be taking 5 years from what happened in Justice League. It'll be happening 5 years before what happened in Justice League. It can be happening 5 months. Who knows? But just let it be its own thing. We don't need it. For the Batman anime series, when did we ever see Superman pop in there?
I think it was in two or three times, but that's it.
That's it. Wonder Woman.
Same thing
not
with
at all.
The Superman animated series was in the same universe, but they were not. Batman was in a couple of episodes that they did a major crossover.
That's all we needed.
Look at modern with the Flash Arrow universe. They have entire seasons where they have one or two crossovers, and that's it. You'll get a character here and there jumps back and forth, but each of them carry their own story.
And the other thing...
And each show has a different feel.
Right. Another thing is, if it feels organic, it can happen. But once it feels forcing, like you're just forcing characters in there, that's where the problem comes in. And this is also happening in Marvel right now, if you notice. In the first, stage one or whatever they were calling
it?
They were making, this character has to be here, this character has to set up in here. And it wasn't bad, they did it right. But now if you look, like Guardians of the Galaxy, it's just Guardians of the Galaxy. Yes, they're connected, but you haven't seen any character from other Marvel franchises pop in there. And I think that's now the take they're going for. You can make a decent movie without having all the characters pop up.
Yeah.
Because that was my one problem in Batman vs. Superman. That was enough. Batman vs. Superman, I needed that. More than one pop-up. It's cool to see Trendy. Why do we have cameras from Aquaman, Cyborg... Yeah. The Flash, it's like, I'm getting too much now. You're overwhelming me. So I'm glad that they cleared this up. Jeff Johns and, I'm trying to look at her name again, Diane Nelson, as we said, they're fans. They know what they want. They're also a little bit younger than the people that was in there before for all the business stuff. These are actual fans of the comic books, and that's why I think they put Jeff Johns on here in the first place, was to let the comic book, they needed somebody in the comic book world to help the movie world.
Yes.
And move that along.
Well, like I said, when Marvel started their their movie universe, they brought in comic book people.
And one of them actually came down here to Akron, you and I was going. And got to talk to him. You need people that write on the books, make the books, draw the books. Someone that has the inside of it to at least help these movie producers. So we're getting that. And it seems like the slate has changed a little bit in the past 2 years, but now we finally seem like we're getting on... level here. And the Justice League film, what are they calling this again? The Justice League film universe?
Oh, no, just the DC Films universe. DC Films is what they're calling
it. DC Films, okay. Well, hey, I'm happy with them right now.
Well, and speaking of DC Films and Justice League specifically, we have some news from Danny Elfman, which I am so excited about.
I was so glad to hear this.
A lot of people know that my favorite superhero theme when it comes to music, and I love some movie music and movie scores. My favorite theme in movies, in superhero movies, is the original John Williams Superman theme.
Have you played Lego Batman 2?
I believe so, yeah.
Have you?
Well, no, anybody who listens to our show, the final song we have is actually...
Yeah, you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah. Well, and actually the song is done by a DJ guy that calls himself DJ Fatboy Roberts.
You're great.
You can go to geekremix.com to get all of his music, but the track is called Last Sons, and he took the Hans Zimmer music from Man of Steel and weaves the John Williams Superman theme in there almost seamlessly.
And it's perfect.
Well, you hear it at the end of our show every week.
Oh, yeah. But when I first heard that and you let me hear it where we were going to do this for the show, I was like, my ear... It was beautiful. It was just beautiful.
Exactly. That's why we've never changed. We played with some other music here and there.
It's like,
put
it can't
in there.
Be
it's
that.
Like, no.
It can't
we keep coming back to it.
Spot.
That's got to be it. Well, Danny Elfman, we know, is doing the score for Justice League. And a lot of fans have tried to imagine how his take on the superhero team is going to sound, because we've seen him do superheroes in the past.
Oh, this
He did the original. He basically created In 1989, The Sound of Batman.
Yeah, I mean, his...
Because for the next 10 or 15 years, until we got the Dark Knight trilogy, basically, every time you heard Batman, it was inspired by what Elfman had done in 89.
Mm-hmm. And I mean,
all
this
the stuff
dude
from the Bruce
so
10 animated universe.
Much.
Yeah, he's been everywhere. Most of the movies that were done by Tim Burton are all his.
Yep. I would say he did Spider-Man. He's even done The Corpse Bride.
Mm-hmm.
Let me find more of these. I'm just going to go down every once in a while and tell you.
But he did actually do an interview before he received... Now, he was out... fans have been imagining how it sounded. Thankfully, he did an interview before he received the Max Steiner Music Achievement Award at the 10th Annual Hollywood in Vienna Festival, where he actually gave fans a preview of what to expect in Justice League. And here's the specific parts that he talks about of Justice League. I'm just going to read it directly from the interview. It says, "You've been in London recording the score for Justice League. It's been 28 years since you scored Batman.
Wow.
What was it like to going back into the DC universe?" Now, from Elfman, he says, "It was great. It was like I never left, or it was like I never left because I'm used to... I'm using the same thematic material that I used back then. It never actually went away," he laughs. It just was great fun. There are a few little fan moments. I instated a moment of the Wonder Woman theme that Hans Zimmer did for Batman v Superman, but I also had 2 minutes where I had the pleasure of saying, "Let's do John Williams Superman." And that for me was heaven, because now I have a melody to twist, and I'm using it in an actual very dark way, in a dark moment. It's the kind of thing that some fans will notice, some won't. It's a moment where we're really not sure whose side he's on. The people at DC are starting to understand we've got to do these iconic bits from our past, and that's part of us. That's part of our heritage. We shouldn't run away from that. Contemporary thinking is, every time they reboot something, you have to start completely from scratch, which, of course, audiences will tell us again and again is bullcrap. Because of the single most surviving and loved theme in the world is Star Wars.
Yeah.
Which they had the good sense to not dump for the reboots, which none of the Star Wars movies have been reboots.
You should not.
But, and every time it comes back, the audiences go crazy.
Oh, yeah, when you hear that.
If you look at Rogue One, Michael Giacchino, if you listen to the Rogue One theme at the very beginning when the title hits,
yeah,
it is the Star Wars theme inverted.
So.
If you listen, it's like an inverted version of the original Star Wars theme.
Okay, because I knew it was a little different, and everyone in the audience was like, "Huh, wait a minute, that's not what I'm all the way used to." I mean, that's what they were going for. But to Danny Elfman, I noticed he's worked with Tim Burton and Sam Raimi numerous times.
Oh, yeah.
That was like his go-to guys.
Directors a lot of times have certain guys that they want to go. Like Michael Giacchino has done a lot of J.J. Abrams' stuff.
Mm-hmm.
J.J. just keeps going back to the same guy.
Yeah.
But continuing on here, it said, "Did you write new themes for such characters as Flash and Aquaman?" He says, "I created very simple motifs. There are so many themes, you can't just do a big theme for everything. So I created a motif for the Flash, for Aquaman, and Cyborg. But they're very simple things, and DC understood. I said, these things may never be used again, but I'm giving you all the components should you wish to have things to build on. They either will or they won't. But that's how I approach a project like this. You have to take the attitude that this is the beginning of a mythology, and it all matters. It all comes to fruition, and with any luck, they will. Now, I loved the people I worked with. They're wonderful. The DC guys were great. I kept talking about the DNA of John Williams in this other theme. Using the DNA of Batman in these other variations, which were not the Batman theme. But it all derives from that musical themes variations, which were not the Batman theme. Or wait, musical themes like genres. You carry the DNA along, and it creates these subtle connections which are perceived on the unconscious level. It's funny because I'm terrible at puzzles, but I love musical puzzles. It's a different part of my brain. And the cool thing I'm seeing with this is the fact that one of the things that annoys me a lot of times about modern movie music.
Yeah, and then you and Cameron talk about this.
Yeah, too. I was talking to Cameron, your brother there, that since he's studying editing and stuff,
yeah.
That the trend right now in Hollywood seems to be background music. The music doesn't play a part in the role. It's just something so that you don't have dead space.
Yeah, and
where when you had Danny Elfman in the originals,
yeah,
and John Williams in that whole section of composers back in the 70s and 80s, you actually, the music was an actual character in the film.
Yes.
They actually, if you can find it, there's at least one version of the original Superman, the movie with Christopher Reeve, that has no audio other than music. And it tells the entire story with just the music. And you can follow the story with no problem with just watching the visuals and hearing the music.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the same for Star Wars as well.
Well, that's why John Williams was known for this. That's why there's actually there was a concert series for a while that was Star Wars in concert, and it was the symphony orchestras from different towns playing with the HD giant HD screen behind them playing the scenes that they're playing along with, and they're basically the orchestra is telling the story.
And that's what Cam wanted to go. He wanted to go to an orchestra. I think was it Star Wars? Maybe.
They still do that now with not just Star Wars. They've done it with many, many films.
It was Pokemon.
But especially a lot of the 80s and stuff movies. Now, what you get to now, like, I have the three Man of Steel or Dark Knight soundtracks.
Yeah.
I don't put them in often because it's just mood music almost in the background. It just kind of flows, so there's nothing.
If I had to say, though, that's the closest
we could get. I was actually disappointed a little bit with the Wonder Woman soundtrack because of this.
Yeah, now I like the Dark Knight trilogy albums way better than I did Wonder Woman. There's the one song on Wonder Woman I like, but besides
that. There was one theme there.
Yeah, that was it.
Now, Williams, Elfman in the beginning and stuff actually would have each character would have their own themes. It's like when they would come on screen, somewhere in the score you would hear their theme playing.
Mm-hmm. That's why I love the Wonder Woman theme song still.
Yeah.
It just rings in your head.
Well, they asked him one other question here. It says, why do you love working with Joss Whedon? And Elfman said, it was the same as when I worked with him on Ultron. He appreciates melodies and pieces. He's like, oh, you've given it identity here. There was a moment when the Batmobile shoots out of a thing and he goes, go bat crap crazy here. Batman, the crap out of this. Now, I'm having to change some of the dialogue here for being a family-friendly show.
Yeah.
Well, it says, when I'm using the Batman theme, I'm using the melodic sense of it. I wasn't doing full-on Batman, and there's a moment when he says, no, right here, full-on. So Joss Whedon gets it also that you have to... The music sounds like Joss Whedon knows...
I was going to say, I know Joss Whedon
has to be a character. Well, if you listen to the Avengers soundtracks...
Yeah.
The Avengers soundtracks actually do have your themes in there.
Mm-hmm. Joss Whedon he's got an ear, he's got an eye, he's great
he's
at
got
his job.
Actually, two ears and two eyes.
Two eyes.
And a nose and a mouth.
All of those. And that's why he's the perfect face for the movie.
I like the way you tied that together. That was nice.
Thank you. I try. But yeah, I just can't wait for the Justice League movie to come out. Like, I'm really
going to pre-order you know what? I've already pre-ordered the Star Wars soundtrack. I may have to pre-order the soundtrack for this one.
You know, I should do that too. I just can't wait for this movie. It feels like my excitement is really going to pop up in November. Once November hits on the 1st, all I'm going to be doing
Over on Geek Watch 1 this past week.
All of your history has to be about DC.
This past week was our fourth quarter movie previews. Mm-hmm. And, dude, you got and this is a DC show, but we're looking forward to Thor. November 3rd is Thor.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, you get Justice League. 4 weeks later, you get Star Wars,
yep.
And then Jumanji after that, just to kind of put the cherry on top of the sundae.
Yeah. I feel like I'm looking forward to something else, and I just think
there's a couple of other ones in there.
Yeah, there is something else I'm looking forward to. I cannot think
there's
of.
There's Death Wish in there. There's Coco from Disney's Pixar.
Is that coming out? The musical with
Greatest Showman.
Yes.
Yeah, that's 29th of December,
last week
of the month.
That's my cherry on top.
Yeah.
I was getting chills looking at the trailer in theater.
Oh, yeah.
IMAX. I was like, oh, man, I can't wait for this. I hate musicals, but I love the circus. I love all the different weird things you can pull out of the circus.
Well, you're going to love the fact that Legends in the first couple episodes is going to go meet P.T. Barnum.
I feel like this P.T. Barnum isn't going to be as good of a guy as...
I don't know.
The way they're describing him, he's like, he's a little bit of an a-hole.
Well, that's who P.T. Barnum was.
And here he looks all friendly and nice.
No. P.T. Barnum was a con man. He was a carny.
He was a carny. Yeah.
That's who he was.
So I just can't wait for the movie, and plus I'm also getting it on a DC show. So
exactly.
It's going to be a good little season for me.
But moving away from the movies and TV, now into actual comic book news,
mm-hmm.
we have – actually, this is the first time I remember them making a big deal about a delay.
Yeah, well, you see, this is what they've been billing for all year. I can see why this is a problem as being a delay.
Well, also, DC, now Marvel has had a lot of problems with delays and stuff not coming out for months and months and months of delays.
They got a lot of problems.
DC has been, since Rebirth started, has been pretty much on time.
Now, sometimes we'll get a pull list or we're getting synopsis for next week that's a little off, but once that week comes,
we still get
the same books that they promised.
You know, way ahead of time if something gets bumped.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this looks like it's something that is something out of nowhere, just getting bumped out of nowhere.
You see how the list we have for Metal? There's like 35 different books coming out just for Metal alone. So I can see why there being a little bit of a mishap there. But within issue 3 due in October 11th, DC Comics recently announced that their fourth issue of Dark Knight's Metal has unfortunately been delayed. Just for 1 week, not too bad. The new release date for the issue will be set on December 20th, and December 20th will also see Dark Knight Metal tie in for Hawkman.
Hawkman found. Now, this is interesting because we just had the death of Hawkman.
Yes.
But we know Dark Knight's Metal has all been told through the journal of Carter Hall. So
he's back. And from this picture, I'll put this out on Instagram, Twitter, guys, for you guys to check out if you haven't seen anywhere else. He looks pissed at Batman.
Yeah.
And I do not blame him. Didn't I write a journal telling you not to do this?
Yeah. I told you everything was going to happen. Now you didn't follow any of it?
That's what he looks like. He just grabbed him. He's not crying. Kill him.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be excited for this. And I feel like Hawkman's one of the most, well, not most, but he's one of the underrated heroes in the DC continuity right now. Even on the show, they added him on Legends. I felt like they were trying to give him his time to shine, but still there wasn't enough to show he can be on the par with Aquaman, technically Manhunter's underrated too, Flash, Green Lantern, and from what I was used to, Super Friends, he was like a key character in there.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's why he has a special place in my heart. But that's Dark Knight Metal. It's going to be delayed 1 week, and now we have even more news, once again, from Jeff Johns.
Back to Jeff Johns. And this is one of the ones, this is setting up the panel we're going to get at New York Comic Con on Friday.
Yeah.
Now, remember, like I said, turn to the DC Facebook page, 6 p.m., Friday, October 6th,
mm-hmm.
to watch the Doomsday Clock panel. I know we're going to watch it. If I have to watch it a little bit later or whatever, I'm watching this panel.
I tell you, I might even get some popcorn.
Yeah, get some popcorn. Have you live tweet as you're going.
Yeah. Did you hear that? Retweet this. So this is what's going on with the Doomsday Clock. I was saying, I think
now they put out
a little bit more.
On DC's YouTube channel, they put out two what they're calling trailers for this. And it was Jeff Johns talking about the Doomsday Clock. I'm not going to get into
it. It feels like
an
interview.
Because the interview, the videos say most of it. But we know that the Doomsday Clock is coming. It's part of Rebirth. It's basically the first time we're truly advancing the Rebirth story because it is Superman versus Dr. Manhattan.
And I didn't really pay attention to this because I've just been reading so many of the books. But Jeff Johns has actually not been on a DC comic book since Rebirth.
Well, he's been a little busy.
Yeah, he's been just a tidbit, you know. He had to fit in his schedule.
But the trailers, a lot of it, the second trailer that just released this past week, goes through and has him, remember a couple of weeks ago or a month or two ago, San Diego Comic Con that they released.
Oh, okay. That's been a while ago, but yeah.
Yeah, they released the, covers for, or some of the images from Dark, mm-hmm. or from the Doomsday Clock.
Right.
Well, it goes through Jeff Johns describing what's going on in those panels. Some of them, I didn't catch what they were showing.
Hardly none of that.
That's not on any of these ones here.
I remember some of them. There was a panel. Well, it was just really this one panel that stood out to Jeff Johns that he was really going in depth with. There's a panel where it's a car after everything that happens with the Dr. Manhattan and Ozymandias little bomb thing that was going on, or in the city. People got out of their car, and it was, now we don't know, but there's just the two doors open on the passenger side of the car. And there were some files fell out onto the ground. And also right by the files, there was a manhole cover. And the manhole cover wasn't all the way closed. So it looks like whoever was in the car has some secret files. and they're trying to get away for some reason. Yeah. They knew it was coming, maybe.
Yeah, it looks like they were in such a rush to get out of the car, they dropped everything. The car is still running because you see exhaust coming out.
Yep.
You can see they didn't even close up the manhole after they got in there.
No.
They were so something's happening that people are evacuating as fast as possible any way they can.
Who are they and what importance do they have?
Exactly. Doomsday Clock is going to be huge.
Yeah.
And figures are going to drop this right in the middle of Dark Knight Metal.
Yep.
At the same time.
So much at the end. I want to buy presents for people, but with all these comic books, I'm going to be buying.
I'm going to be broke.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. There's going to be a limited list of things I must get for myself. I think just the comic books.
Well, this panel is going to be one we're definitely going to be covering on the show next week.
Oh, definitely. There's going to be a lot of material coming out.
The next probably 2 weeks, at least, is going to be all Comic-Con news.
Like we did before. I think, for the first 2 weeks after Comic-Con happened in San Diego, that's what we're reviewing, except for the comic books. Mm-hmm. Everything else was San Diego.
Well, it's getting to the point where New York Comic-Con is almost, maybe not attendance-wise, but it's almost as big in the comic book world as San Diego.
The funny thing for me as a kid, do you remember Wizard Comics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I remember Wizard Magazine.
I said Wizard Comics. I meant Wizard Magazine.
I wish it was so. Dude, I loved.
I did too.
Wizard. They had a couple of different books they put out. They had Inquest Magazine, which was all your gaming.
And they had comic books inside of the.
I still have a bunch of those in my long boxes at home.
I got the one I got from down in South Carolina. It was my first one I ever picked up.
I actually still have a bunch of copies of Wizard in my attic.
I wonder if we have probably a couple of the same issues.
Possibly.
But anyways, that was the first time I got introduced to there even being a Comic-Con. There was an article in there I was going through, and it was like, oh, New York Comic-Con.
Yeah, they actually, if I remember right, in the back, they actually listed some cons.
Yeah, and I didn't know about it at the time because it was about toys. And it was like, what toys?
Well, you
got to
think,
out?
This was when Wizard Magazine was around. The reason a lot of these magazines aren't around is because of the internet.
Now I was going to say, because we didn't have what we had in front of us right now. But then it was just, it was nostalgia. If I see one of those, I'm probably going to get giddy like a little schoolgirl, as they would say.
Well, I'll have to find some and bring them in for you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
But we have one more piece of news that we got. This one's mainly on you, man, because I don't play a lot of the video games. But we actually have some information about the next chapter of the Batman Enemy Within game. This is for Chapter 2, correct?
Yes. This is Chapter 2, Episode 2. Or Season 2, Chapter 2. Now, this is giving us a little detail. I didn't see the trailer for the article I'm on right now, but this was like about 2 minute glimpse of what's going to be happening in on the game. The character known as John Doe, which we all know is Joker. He just isn't.
He looks like Joker. I mean, how can he not be?
Right, but he isn't Joker yet in the game.
Okay.
It's one of those things, if we never heard of Joker and you're just getting sunk right into this new Batman game, you don't know nothing about Joker, you're going to go up the story of, oh, who's this John Doe guy? Then, boom, he's going to be a Joker. That's what I think they're going for.
Okay.
So, for right now, he's John Doe. Now, him and Bruce have made a little bit of partnership here. Batman is under Amanda Waller right now, and also the way he can get to John Doe is by being Bruce Wayne, which, spoiler, Amanda Waller knows who Batman is because she's Amanda Waller.
Why is that a spoiler?
I mean,
Amanda Waller in every incarnation they've ever put on Amanda Waller,
game,
she knows everything.
She knows everything.
If you look in the TV shows, in movies, in video games, in comic books,
I'll say
Amanda
in Suicide
Waller
Squad, didn't her and Bruce just have a little get together about the superheroes of Aquaman,
Amanda,
Wonder Woman,
yes,
and everything?
And Amanda Waller knows all the secrets.
There are
That's
no secrets for the wall. So she told him, either one, you work with me, or two, you're under custody, and you know who I am. This isn't going to go well. So he's working with John Doe, trying to figure out what's going on in Gotham right now. And as they're walking down the alley, him and Bruce are talking. Then they get into a car. Harley Quinn starts to point a gun at Bruce Wayne's head. He, of course, being who he is, he takes it away. And she's like, oh, this is pretty cool. This is going to be fun. We're working with somebody who actually knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So as of right now, Joker is still John Doe. Harley Quinzel is Harley Quinn, and she looks a little odd from what I'm used to, but Batman, they don't know who
Bruce Wayne
is.
What do you mean, looks a little odd? Just because she looks like the newest female member of KISS.
I'm like,
you laugh because you see it.
I know, and I want to just go back to that clip and look at the eyebrows. It's like, wait a minute, I don't know.
She looks like the newest female member. Like, if
that's
Paul
what
Stanley,
Bane look like,
if
looks
Paul
like?
Stanley would step out of KISS for some reason and they needed a female lead singer, that's what she looks like.
Also, Batman. Bane will also be in this game as well, and I'm not liking the way...
Well, these games put all the characters in them, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
As many as they can. It's just like the Arkham games. The Arkham games had all the different characters in them.
And this is our Bane right here, if I can get a glimpse and show Ken.
It looks like Bane.
It looks like Bane, but with a mustache that doesn't work with his mask.
You gotta think, Bane always has the luchador look, and that's actually a classic luchador thing,
that's
is they have a mustache under the mask.
You are right. So we don't know too much about it. They're not going to spoil a lot, but the game is actually available today for episode 2, and you guys can go download that. I'm going to have to download this after we get done recording. I probably won't have a lot of time to play it, but at least can have it on my PlayStation.
Well, you have the full season pass or whatever, don't you?
Yeah.
So when they, each episode they put out, they just...
I should have done it when I came home today, but I was trying to get the show up together.
I don't have a PlayStation 4 or whatever that covers it right now, but don't you have a way to set it so it automatically downloads when something new is available?
Oh, yeah, you do.
Well, why haven't you done it?
I like the classic... See,
you like going and downloading it.
I just like to do that because I'm still not used to this whole new wave of, we might not even have a disc in the future. You're going to have to just download it. I don't like downloading too many games sometimes because they glitch. It's better to have a hard copy.
See, I'm still on Xbox 360.
Yeah, but I still have mine upstairs too. I still play Marvel Legends on there.
But it's like when the free games come every month, you get 2 free games if you're part of Xbox Live Gold.
Here's my thing. When they have sales for like $4.99, $2.99 games, free games, I will download everything. But when I'm paying top dollar that I would for a game, I could get on disc.
Full and price, I'd rather have disc.
And if it freezes on me, I would rather have the disc instead. And that's my thing with downloading certain games. But so far, the story of Batman this season feels more like he's coming in just like Gotham. If you play the first season, it feels something like what Gotham's doing. It's like, oh, here's a completely new take. It's like an Elseworlds. But you still
have
certain
aspects. But
you're
already a week behind on Gotham. I mean, what's up with this? There's only 2 episodes out and you've missed one?
I was like, wait a minute. I just saw that time went by. I was like, wait a minute. I was sitting there
yesterday.
I think I missed episode 2 already.
This one's a straight Scarecrow episode.
Okay. I haven't spoiled anything for me. I've seen online. So like, oh,
and
don't let me
see it. You get Lucius Fox helping out with some stuff.
Interesting. Oh, that's an other thing. Lucius Fox in this is going to be a big... I don't want to spoil this for anyone that hasn't played because that is a big
spoiler. Now, in this one, how old is Lucius? Is he old enough that Lucas could already be around?
Oh, no, his kids are grown.
Okay.
He has all his kids. Oh, they
so
play
could,
roles in
so
this
you
game.
Could get Batwing in this.
That's why I was... When they mentioned a certain name drop for season or episode 1, I was like, Batwing? That's all I was hoping for. But for all we got now of his kids is his daughter. I don't remember her name.
Okay, I don't know. I only know, because I've been reading Detective now, this is the only reason I know Batwing. I mean, I've heard of Batwing, but I didn't know who the character was.
My buddy, when New 52 came out, was one that, like I said, New 52 didn't have everything bad, and there were some good things. That's
what
got introduced to
Batwing.
Tell
me if I'm wrong, but is Batwing, is he not the Iron Man Batman?
Yeah, he
he's the Batman version of Iron Man.
Well, what was the new animated movie came out about Batman? Is Batman Bloodline or something like
something
that?
Something like that, yeah.
We were watching that, and one of my friends, I don't remember who it was, they were like, wait a minute, I didn't know Batman had a Iron Man. And I was like,
yeah, that's what Batwing is.
And he was serious. I was like,
eh. Is Lucas Fox not the DC's version of Tony Stark?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people have tried to put
Bruce Wayne
with Tony Stark.
Yeah.
But no. Bruce Wayne is not Tony. No.
He's got the money.
Lucas Fox is Tony Stark.
He's got the brains for making these suits.
Exactly. But Batman or Bruce has the money. He has the brains. He doesn't use the tech as much.
No.
No. Tony builds everything.
Tech.
Well, that's Lucas. Lucas, everything's tech.
Mm-hmm. And that's why someone's able to acquire that. Now, to just finish up on this one. They, like I said, the new villains that they're showing, at least for the trailer, are Harley Quinn and Bane. I have no idea who else will come into play here, and I don't know how many other villains we'll get from the next 3 episodes.
Okay.
But it looks like it's going pretty good, and if you guys can stick with Gotham or stick, if anything, have an open mind for something, definitely download this game. It's only about $25-22 for a season pass. I say it's money well worth spent.
Oh, yeah.
And it only lasts for about an hour playthrough.
Okay.
Have fun.
See, that's the problem I have with having to buy these individually. It's like, you pay $25 for an hour.
Yeah. Well, see, here's my thing.
I'll spend $10 and go watch a movie for 2.5 hours.
That's for the season pass. Now, if you want to do like I do, sometimes if you can hold off from any social media, because they will spoil it for you if you follow certain people or block them, I get these games and I have to play them around the same week they come out, because if I don't, I'm going to scroll down. Someone's going to spoil it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be spoiled, so I have to play these while they come out.
Now, is that each individual chapter is $25?
No. It's for the whole thing.
Okay. If you buy
the whole thing. But you have to wait for
how much is it if you buy them individually? It's
$2.99.
Oh, okay. That I could see for about an hour, $2.
Because
that's
maybe four. It might be $4.99.
Okay.
Yeah, $4.99.
Because you got to remember,
$5 is $25.
Most, if you're on iTunes or Amazon or Google Play, buying an individual episode of a TV show is like $1.99.
Yeah, and it's about the same for that. But like I said, I think it's about $4 or $3.99 because of five.
Well, there's a lot more into it, and it's actually interactive.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not just
you can
sitting down watching
it. And these are the kind of games where they're choice based. So if you make this choice, it's going to change, and you can go back and play and get about 3 different endings. So it's time well spent. So you have about 3 hours per episode if you want to go back and replay it.
Okay. Well, That brings us to the end of our news stories.
Mm-hmm.
This actually, the news segment went a lot longer than I expected this week.
We went to depth there. We had fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what you get when you get DC superpowers and you get us sitting around.
Mm-hmm. We're two DC fans just talking about.
That's right. Well, it's time to get into our reviews. And these are our comic book reviews for what date was this one? September.
Actually, we have it marked right here.
You do? Where?
Right on the dock.
No, you don't. Because I changed it.
Oh, well then, that wasn't my fault.
We have, this is for September 22nd, I believe, right? Yes, September 22nd.
If my calendar pops up here, September 22nd?
See who can get it
faster.
Yeah, these are the books for
September
22nd.
Oh, okay.
Just a second, I can...
Wait, no, not 22nd.
No, the 20th. Yeah, September 20th. I had to check the previews real quick.
So
these are the books for September 20th, and we're actually starting with Justice League number 29.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, this is the story where the kids from the future have come back for some reason, and we find out one of the reasons they're coming back now.
Yeah, they're not as friendly as we thought they were. In the last issue, they said they want to kill Wonder Woman. And to give you guys a little insight of what has happened with Wonder Woman, in the future, she was a bad mother. She abandoned her son because, from what we know of, he's a male.
In his side of the story.
That's what I said, from what we know, because we haven't heard Wonder Woman's
side yet.
His side
of the story was Wonder Woman rejected him because he was a man.
And from the more I'm reading this, I don't believe him as much as I used to. I don't know if I like him as much as I thought I did.
Yeah. Hunter's got some issues.
Yeah. Well, we start out at the Kent's farmhouse. This is where we left off last time. Now he's, Clark is in here with Lois, and they're getting ready for breakfast and everything, looking for John, because for some reason he's missing, and...
John had left for school.
Yeah, I'm saying.
John left for school, and then Hunter's missing.
Right.
And they're like, well, he left last night.
And this is when Clark starts to get a little sick. He's like, he doesn't know where they are, but he's going to have to find them. Then he finds out there must be kryptonite in there.
Yeah, he's like, he starts getting sick, and Lois asks him straight up, what's going on? He's like, kryptonite. He knew immediately what the problem was. Then out of nowhere, our
cyborg-looking
Aquaman... looks like he teleports into the room.
Yes,
holding this giant
or mother box.
Stick with red
kryptonite.
Red lights on it. No, what it is.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's the red
sun. It's a staff that Batman had made in the future or something. Actually, Batman made it here because remember later on we find out from Batman.
Mm-hmm.
It's a red solar flare.
A red solar flare, okay.
To take all of Superman's powers away, and then Aquaman comes in and just beats down Superman
because
and takes him with
right
him.
His right arm, he's like Cyborg. So basically, picture Cyborg. On Aquaman, so he can turn his body into almost anything he wants. Mm-hmm. So his left
that
hand...
He did boom tube in, because they have a boom tube of him leaving.
He boom tubes in with his left hand made out of kryptonite. It's
exactly.
A rock of kryptonite. And he's just beating Superman down, but Lois gets a bat, hits him overhead, says, get off my husband. He stops Lois from hitting him, says he does not want to hurt her, so just leave him alone, let him take his
husband.
Yeah,
she has nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
Stay out of it.
Well, as he goes through the boom tube... somehow the solar flare backs her up into a wall. She gets knocked out. He didn't want that to happen, but he has to complete the mission.
Well, next up, we get to Nova Scotia, and you get Wonder Woman looking over this valley with a thunderstorm, and you see all the kids from the future hiding behind her in the forest, talking over their plan. The reason they came back in time was they have to kill Wonder Woman before she releases the darkness. Whatever the darkness is. Which we'll find out here in a little bit anyway. And they're talking about this, discussing it, and Wonder Woman is sitting there. You hear her internal monologue saying, do they really think I can't hear them?
Yeah, I was thinking...
Please don't do this.
I was thinking, I'm like, you know, I just saw this Wonder Woman movie, and she has a little bit more powers than what you would think she has.
Well, and she says straight up, don't do this. And she tells them straight up, stop, because I will defend myself.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many people were shooting at her from the
That's all. It looks like all of them were attacking her, and she goes through and starts wiping the floor with the kids.
Well, she has this Amazon seal. She blocks it. Then I'm going to call her the Kid Flash here. Tries to get her. One of them was fast, too. Nora. One of them was pretty speedy, too.
Mm-hmm.
So she dodges that, still guarding them, grabs Nora, tosses her up in the air for lasso, and she's beating all the kids down except for what's his name here again? Is it?
Who, Hunter?
Hunter. I was going to say Connor. I also want to say Connor.
No. Yeah, he does actually. You know what? I never noticed that. He actually looks like Connor Kent.
I was like, I want to say Connor.
He looks like Connor Kent.
You think this might be the closest one we get to?
For now. Like I said, the reason I think we're not going to get Connor is because now we have John.
Right, and that's another Superboy. So he gets on her and he says, I'm going to kill you. And this is his mother. And earlier in here, by the way, they said, are you sure you want to kill your mother? He says, she gave birth to me, but she is not my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he takes her down, and now she reverses it on him, says, please don't make me do this. I'm just going to defend myself, so I will hurt you.
Well, then we get back to the Kent farm, and we find Batman waking up Lois.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't realized till now that actually Batman has not been involved in any of this.
No, he hasn't.
He hasn't met any of the kids or anything.
No.
And he's asking what's going on, and he says Aquaman is actually, yes, he's different, he's older, and he has no idea what she's talking about with the kids. But then she finds out that actually the solar flare and the kryptonite were stolen from the current day Batman. And Lois asks him straight up, wait a minute, so why are you building weapons that can take out Clark?
Right. Well, I mean,
he's your friend.
But he's
and she
Superman.
Says, you know what? You have a job to save them. Then come back. We're going to have a talk, Bruce.
See, this is the thing.
This is Mama Lois,
this is
which
Mama
I
Lois.
Like Mama Lo.
And here's my thing. I'm just like, you know Batman's still going to be like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm
but
still keeping
this. This is a little different Lois Lane than growing up reading.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
liking this Mama
yeah,
Lois
same
Lane.
Same as
you know, she's,
Papa
she says, you know
Superman.
What? And see, what it is she didn't have. It seems like she didn't have as much problem with weapons that could hurt Clark. It's the fact that these same weapons would kill John. That's where she's really upset
right.
about.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, that's why you're getting Mama Lois saying, wait a minute. No, no, no. She's playing Mama Hen. You don't hurt my boys.
Boy.
My boy, Johnny.
Yeah.
No, you
my
leave
husband,
him alone.
I get it. My son, he's still my son.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it weird that when she first mentions John, where is it? I think back when she's talking about Aquaman, she mentions John because it's just the context that they said it. Let me see here. School. There was one point that she mentions John, and the first thing I thought was John Jones.
Ah, I wish.
And it was the way
really
she
wish.
Said it, the way it was written, it sounded like she could have been talking about John Jones. Then I'm like, oh, no, wait, she's talking John Kent.
I like how we're both seeing these characters again, these names mixed up. We're like, we want our other characters back.
Yeah. Let's
but
see.
We go. Are you looking for her, John? Part.
Yeah, it's probably farther on. Well, next one we get is to Barry Allen's apartment in Central City.
Also, who's in the apartment with him is Jessica.
Yes, well, that's because Jessica and Barry, or, yeah, Barry and Jessica in
are
this,
the mother and father
these
of
children
these kids
come back.
In the future.
It's their kids, supposedly.
Yeah, and they have three of them.
And you get
a set of twins and an older sister,
yeah.
older daughter.
But you get this orb comes flying through the window. And then Aquaman, the older Aquaman, flies through the window, and all of a sudden it seems like time's pretty much stopped. And here it's a temporal grenade.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about how, wow, this is amazing. Barry, you're still moving, even though this is a time grenade.
Yeah. He's
that
very
tells
fast.
You how fast he's moving.
Yeah.
So he takes out Flash, takes out Jessica, and then we move on to the Foundry with Cyborg and his dad, Silas. And they're talking about how Cyborg's looking for Cube, can't find him. And two boom tubes open.
But I just want to say, before you get that far, also, he knocks Flash out because he only has about 3 seconds before the grenade goes off. And then he knocks out Jessica. But once again, before he hits Jessica, he's still wearing the Black Lantern ring.
Yeah, he's got a Black Lantern ring.
Still has it on.
So, but two boom tubes open up.
Do you think he's dead?
I don't know.
My question. Because if you look at his body, it looks like he's deteriorating. If
yeah.
it wasn't for that cyborg technology.
Well, this is almost, from looking at the different stuff he's done, it's almost like he is a combination of the entire Justice League. He's got the cyborg tech.
Mm-hmm.
He is Aquaman already. Instead of a Green Lantern ring, he's got a
Black
Lantern ring.
He's using Batman's
tech. I'm wondering if he hasn't, if the Sovereign that he's serving hasn't basically turned him into a one-man Justice League
here.
Or in
or
Justice
Amazo
League
almost.
Or whatever. Yeah. But the two boom tubes open, and Aquaman flies out of one, grabs Vic, and flies into the other one. So he's collecting Justice League members right now, it seems
mm-hmm.
like.
I wonder for what.
Then we get back to the Kent farm, and let me see here. And
I wonder where.
Yeah, this is where Lois talks to and tells him about the kids from the future. And Batman's like, wait, what kids? What are you talking about? And then she finds out that they don't know what's going on and that this is an Arthur from the future. And yeah, here's where they're at. She's actually talking about the different weapons that he used on that were built for Superman. But she says straight up, you know what, right now? Go and find my husband. But before that, she says, Bruce, when whatever this is over, we're going to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, go and find my husband.
And even looking at Batman's face back there, there's a little bit of a more frown the way he usually
yeah,
has.
Yeah, he's not ready for this.
Mm-hmm. But now we're back with the kids and Wonder Woman. She's literally holding her own. It's basically like she's fighting mini versions of the Justice League
mm-hmm.
right now. She's just including herself and taking them down.
Well, eventually she has her sword to...
her son.
To Hunter's throat, and out of nowhere you hear him say, Cube, now. or her cube boom, and you see a boom tube open up, and all of them, the kids and Wonder Woman, all fall through a boom tube.
And this is where we're back in Midway City with Simon Bass.
Yeah, and remember the last couple issues, Simon has been working with Steve Trevor and with this group from the government to keep contained some kind of contagion that's happening in Midway City.
Mm-hmm.
They're using the Green Lantern ring to actually hold it off.
And me seeing this whole town right here, Simon's pretty powerful to concentrate this much to have.
Yeah, it's like a shield over the town.
And there's other things in the background too he's working on.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of willpower right there.
So, he's trying to hold this back, and you hear something talking to him. It says, "Hungry, open it, feed, grow." And then Simon's been sitting there all day just concentrating on doing this, and all night.
Yeah.
Then the boom tube opens up, and the kids and Wonder Woman all fall out of it right there. They're like, "Wait a minute, what are we doing here?" You find out that Cube didn't send them here. Something happened that redirected their boom tube to this location. And Wonder Woman's there with them. And then you hear, open now again. And Wonder Woman looks at this giant thing with these darkness or something inside of it and says, is that what's infecting everybody here? It feels alive and feels familiar. This is what Wonder Woman's saying. And it says, is that what I think it is? And the kids are asking, is that what I think it is? It's the darkness. This is what they were trying to stop from happening, and it's already here. They say, can you actually hear it? Can you all hear it? It's saying, and Simon says, open.
And he lifts
it. And whatever this darkness is, it attacks Wonder Woman.
Yeah. This is my theory of Sovereign may be Wonder Woman. This might be how we get our.
That would be interesting. I actually hadn't picked that up. That would be interesting if actually whatever this is takes over and it becomes Wonder Woman.
Because, like, why would they want to kill Wonder Woman? They're not trying to kill Clark. They're not trying to kill Bruce. They're targeting Wonder Woman. And plus, the Sovereign is a female. So
I think you're right on the right track here,
so,
man.
And since it attacked her, I'm like, I think, and it was black goo too, and it's a black being of her. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But now we're, where is this at?
We're in Amnesty Bay, which is Arthur's lighthouse.
Yes. And this is with, well, his family.
Yeah, it's Serenity and Mara talking about how, and Serenity's the girl, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And how she's not been at this place for a long time and all these things, and Mara's talking about, Serenity tells Mara straight up that, you know what, and says that you died in battle heroically.
Yes.
And Mara thinks she's talking about both her and Arthur.
Right. She's like, well, what's happened to my husband? How did he die? And she steps off. She's like, what is it? She's like, I didn't want to tell you this, but Arthur, or Dad did not die. And she's like, well, what happened to him? And as she's telling him that, he pops around the corner. And this isn't the author that on our time. This is the future one, the cyborg Aquaman. He pops up, and Mira's looking at him, saying, "What happened to you, Sentry? Is this what's her name? What's the daughter's name again? We just said it.
Serenity.
Serenity. Thank you. He's going to attack him. That, but he says, "You can."
That
stop.
Doesn't look like Atlantean magic.
No,
that actually looks like the cyborg construct.
Yeah. So he might have been for a while.
Yeah, he may have been like this before she was born.
Yeah. But then again, this could. I don't know. Well,
or did he enhance her while she was growing up?
Possibly, that might have been what happened. Because I'm looking at it, like, it still does look like their magic, but it has a different type of color to it and different type of symbols. But she doesn't look like she has anything to do with Cyborg. Well, she says, "You've abandoned us, and you've been hurting us, and you tried to kill us." And he says, He said, "I would never hurt you. I would never hurt my family." He's really talking about his wife. He could never bring himself to hurt her. But he says, "What's going on here is our child, and I'm sorry." And then he opens up this mountain that Sovereign was on. Says the queen, and there's other thing. The queen of our world has come to reclaim everything that she has lost, and she will burn the world to find it.
Yeah. Then, and since Wonder Woman was just attacked by the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
That you might be right on that Wonder Woman is about to take her place on the top of Mount Olympus here.
And plus,
remember, this is Mount Olympus.
Aquaman has always had a soft spot for Wonder Woman.
Well, that, and like, remember in the beginning, they said it was Mount Olympus that had Sovereign rained on.
That too.
So we will find out in Justice League number 30.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is all you because I don't have a copy of Green Arrow.
This was good. I mean, this was
I can bring it up
great.
Right here. I didn't actually get a chance to read it yet.
You can read it with me.
That's right. So go ahead and get started, and I'll catch up.
Well, in the last, A Traveling Hero, Hard Traveling Hero, Part 6. In issue number 5 and every other issue, we know Green Lantern has been getting help from likes of Superman, Lex Luthor, Wonder Woman, Flash, Green Arrow. Is that about it?
He's not being help from Green Arrow. He's been help
Green Lantern.
I believe that was the last issue was Green Lantern, wasn't
it? Yeah, and this is why they're stuck in space right now. They are 200 miles above Star City. And he's talking in monologue of how he grew up, and he's always his father used to throw and help him with the yellow and orange sun into the waves, and would have to retire it. Well, now he's older, and he's being attacked in space. And he's trying to save his life here because the thing that happened in the last issue, Green Lantern had him and Green Arrow up in space, but Green Arrow cannot breathe in outer space. Like,
well, obviously.
So once Hal got knocked out, Green Arrow's like, crap.
What am I gonna do now?
A suit. I might die. So before he can get out into the dark, dark depths of space, he's able to close the door with his arrow, and he's also battling one of the Ninth Circle's Burn. You're just calling them Burn. What are they calling these little minions?
I don't remember what they're calling these guys. They're really messed up dudes.
Yeah. Anyways, this is the same guy, I guess, that's always popping up, foiling Green Arrow's pants. And he's just like, why are you always here? And as we go past a couple pages here, they start fighting each other. He closes the door, and then he takes off that burn victim suit. And he's like, everywhere I go, every time I turn around, you're there. Who are you? And he tells him, it doesn't matter. And then he has like these pyro gadgets on his arm, and he starts trying to burn Ollie, and he says, now that we're children, we whispered so close, we've been in the closet for so long, now we're out to take over. And he says, I am Pain, tosses Green Arrow against these screen monitors, and it turns out the Court of Owls, Lex Luthor, all the Ninth Circle, they've been watching and tracking all of them, and he sees Dinah on the screen there, and all he can think about is, hey, that's my girl, I can't let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But as this is going on 200 feet beneath Star City, you have Emiko and Black Canary trying to save this kidnapped victim against the Ninth Circle here. And she says, I've been a child. And my whole life I was bullied and abused by people like you. As a child, I was running away and I had a cigarette burn on my shoulder. I broke my arm twice before I was even 7. And I've been beaten with belts, dented in my skull. That sounds painful. I don't know how she's still here. I got hit in the head with a hammer. And all this that happened to me, I've been a victim for so long. When I think about you doing this to another girl and using her as prey, it just makes me want to scream.
And you get the Canary's call.
Yep, and also you gain Emiko throw arrows at the other henchmen. Now we're back up on the space station, and this guy has been beating the crap out of Green Arrow. He's talking trash to him. He says, I'm just like Oliver Queen. I was once given a second chance to life. I died and came back. But your friends now won't be able to stop you. And that pretty little birdie. This is when Green Arrow's like, I mean, he's got an arrow in his neck. He's been bleeding, guys. Arrow looks bad. Once you bring up the woman he loves, he's like, well, I got something for you then.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets out an electrical arrow, uses it on the tank that he had on, and he says, you fool, you're going to blow us all up. Well, the space station does blow up. And this is where everyone, all the heroes on Earth, sees it. Now you get to Metropolis. You see Clark Kent with Lois Lane. He rushes in to become Superman to stop all the debris falling on Earth. Wonder Woman's in Washington having a meeting. She starts to go up in outer space, or at least on by orbit, to stop the meteors from coming down. Central City, Flash is doing the same thing. Just as in Gotham, Batman solo explosion too. So all the heroes he's worked with in the past couple of books are now going to have to come to the forefront.
Yeah, you basically get most of the Justice League to come to the rescue.
And then this explosion also wakes up Hal. He's like, oh no, Ollie, you blew up in here. What happened? Talk to me, buddy. Ollie is burned, stabbed, beaten. Ollie's on the brink of death almost. And he says, you're right all along. It's a bigger feeling here, and we could connect even more. And this is where Hal tells Ollie, the ring is dead. It took a lot out of me to take us from Earth to outer space to go through this explosion. So I don't know what we're going to do here. We're just going to burn up while we're on our way to the atmosphere. And then this is where Ollie tells Hal, this way you get for being partners with me, you dumb butt. And as they're falling to Earth, they are basically just ready to meet their end here.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get people like Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Flash, all trying to stop things from falling on Earth. And then it's like, wait a minute, we have a little bit more willpower in that ring. And this is where Ollie tells him, I don't have any dollar to my name anymore, but I'm wealthy in everything else. And so are you, Hal. So this is where once it fell to Earth, he was able to put a shield around just him and Ollie before it falls. And this is where Clark was pretty funny here. And he says, is there any openings for the Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
Because, like, I think they just did a suicide mission here. And this is where Batman says, no, but I got something better in mind. We take care of our own. And while he does this, you see Black Canary and Emiko did free the girl they were looking for. But now they're on the Justice League Watchtower on the moon. And basically what happens here, if you guys remember the scene from Justice League Unlimited where Justice League wanted Ollie Green Arrow on the team of Justice League, same thing's happening right here. And Ollie tells them, I love it. It's been an honor. I've been waiting for this basically my whole life to be accepted by you guys again. But I have to say no. And they're like, why? He says, I know I'm not a team player, and I know I can't allow myself to do all the things that you guys want me to do and the stuff I'll probably promise. I would go rogue by myself and go to Seattle again. And all of them tell them, it's always something with him. He can never take it. But then Flash tells them, well, I guess this makes sense in his own Green Arrow way. He'll be here, but he won't be here. And then Hal just says, oh, I get it. We're friends with benefits. I dig it. So he now is technically a part. I guess he's a part-timer for the Justice League.
Yeah, it looks like it. It's one of those, if you need me, call.
Yeah. And this was where...
I don't do meetings.
No, nope,
I don't get schedules.
Mm-mm.
Just if something happens and you need me, I'll be there.
But they gave him his own chair with his arrow symbol on it. You know, at least take the chair home. But now he's looking out onto the world from the moon base. And this is going to be a tie-in into Metal of what we had last week with Teen Titans.
This is where he gets sent to Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
So this actually ties in all the way back to the Teen Titans issue from the first week of it.
2 weeks ago, right? Yeah, 2 weeks ago this ties in now.
Technically, I think right now it's 3 weeks ago because we've had the Suicide Squad came out last week, but we're not reviewing that till next week.
Okay.
You remember, we're 2 weeks behind on the reviews.
Usually, yeah, that's
so that people can actually read them before we spoil everything.
We don't spoil everything the first time.
We give you a week before we spoil it.
And this is where Batman basically asks him, I know something bad. And he says, something dark is coming to Gotham, and I can feel it coming, so I need your help to protect my family. He says, anything for family, I swear, that's like one of the best things in my life. And he says, well, I need you to protect Robin, my son. Or he says, I need you to protect Robin. Batman, or Ollie says, your son, with a question mark, like, oh, I didn't know that was your son. This makes sense now.
Mm-hmm.
And now we see them in Gotham, and this is where we're going to get the issue up to exactly what happened before Teen Titans.
Yeah.
That was our little Dark Metal tie-in kind of end of everything with Green Arrow for the Justice League.
Well, we got to kind of rush through the next two, but we still have to get these two because we're running low on time.
Mm-hmm.
But next up, we got Dark Knight's Metal tie-in of Nightwing number 29. This is Gotham Resistance Part 2. This is Part 2 of the story that started in Teen Titans last week.
Mm-hmm.
And we start in Arkham Asylum, and we have Mr. Freeze in Arkham being let out, and we see the Joker, the Dark Knight...
Man Who Laughs.
Man Who Laughs, which is the Joker Batman.
Yeah.
Letting out Freeze, giving him the Joker's card, and sending him out.
Same thing did to Riddler. He wants opportunities to change something in Gotham and make it what he wants. Well, here's your ticket. Just make sure you don't mess up.
Then we flip back to Nightwing helping out Robin, Harley, and... Killer Croc from the Suicide Squad and Green Arrow fighting these ice golems.
Now, with Damian and Green Arrow, this goes back what we just discussed. And also, there was a crossover with Teen Titans and Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is half of the Suicide Squad with Harley and Killer Croc, and the other half is with the Teen
Titans.
We'll
get with the rest of the Titans here in a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, as of right now, Gotham is been reformed into concentric rings with the Challenger's Mountains in the center of Gotham.
Right.
So they're in one of the... They've made it past the first level. They're in the second ring of Gotham, and it's all ice. So they're fighting, and you get a lot of talking back and forth. You find out that Nightwing actually, when he heard there was problems in Gotham, he headed to Gotham, but first thing he did was he stopped in the cave and picked up a thermal suit that Bruce had made for him.
Because I'm like, man, so this Nightwing looks a lot different.
That's why he's got this ice armor right now.
Okay.
Because he had stopped to pick that up. So you get them fighting back and forth. Let's see. They keep going. They're fighting against all these ice golems. Let me see where we're going here. And they end up beating the ice golems.
Right.
And it says, when they get to the end of this, longer than that.
And then wondering what that metal ball is right there.
Yeah, they're looking at this giant metal, or this little metal sphere shows up.
Now, I might be wrong here, but I think this metal sphere that came out of this Titan thing is what's controlling them, giving them their heart to breathe. This is what the metal, or the man who laughs, Batman Who Laughs, gave Mr. Freeze to give these things life. The metal card.
Yeah.
This is what his purpose is, and what it's going to let them do.
Well, they find out Nightwing was actually chasing this. It was chasing it when my chili buddy and I ran into you guys. Whatever it is, it knows something we don't. Because remember, they're still trying to find Batman.
Right, and that's what they've been looking for because, as you discussed in the Dark Knight Metal 2, Batman disappeared.
Yeah. Well, so Nightwing is following this, trying to figure out what's going on, and Ollie asks him straight up, well, what if this is leading you into a trap? Mm-hmm. Nightwing brings up, well, a worse trap than a frozen city populated by monsters?
Touche.
Nice thing is, it'll be good to have an adult around Nightwing, which Harley and Croc look at it like, wait a minute here. What are we?
Villains. You don't count.
Yeah. Well, then we kick back to the previous ring, which is all fire and the town's being destroyed by riots and stuff. Mm-hmm. You have the Titans trying to help as everywhere they can. And all of a sudden, they find help from an unlikely source. Of the rest of the Suicide Squad.
Right, and this, I'm glad to get back here, but we have Deadshot, Enchantress, Boomerang, which we've been used to, but we have not seen El Diablo.
Yeah, Diablo's in this.
Yeah.
He's still a part of the team.
I thought he died somewhere, an issue we didn't know of, but he's back, because he seemed like he always comes for these crossover events. He was in Justice League versus Suicide Squad, now he's back here with the Teen Titans, so I feel like they're just pulling him out when they need everyone.
Probably. But, we find the Titans are not happy about the Suicide Squad being there because, remember, they don't know about the Suicide Squad. They just know that these are villains.
Right.
It's like, why are the villains saying they want to help?
We don't want to fight the Junior Justice League fan club. We're the good guys here. As they're saying that, you get this evil-looking Joker-Robin thing in the back.
Yes. Then we get back to the ice levels, and we got Ollie leaving arrows behind.
Just like he tried doing the cave. Hopefully no one picks them up again.
Yeah, hopefully Harley doesn't help him this time.
Jeez.
But he's going through, and they're talking. Robin is making fun of him, saying, well, why don't you just use tech and map it? And all of a sudden you find out the tech doesn't work.
No.
And Killer Croc is having problems because of the
cold.
Because of the cold, and he's cold-blooded. Then they find Nightwing's been leading them somewhere. No one knows why, but then they see a little statue of an owl.
I don't say it's a recurring joke. Killer Croc just pukes everywhere.
Yeah, well, that's just Croc. But they find an owl, and they find out, well, why are we going here? And they find out, oh, company's here. These are more of those big giant ice golems are attacking them. And you find Mr. Freeze is actually controlling these ice golems. Then we get back to the outside in the Riddler's labyrinth, and they've basically calmed the area of the Suicide Squad and the Titans when out of nowhere,
the crow.
The Dark Robins all attack.
Mm-hmm.
And this is more than, we saw four in Dark Knight's Metal.
I literally just thought of something. I know they're called Robins, but because of what's going on, they literally spoke
these
crows.
These must be crows now, probably.
I literally just hit my, wow.
I picked it up when you caught that. So this must be the crows.
Jeez.
Well, they start attacking, and all of them, the Titans and the Suicide Squad, start attacking. But the Beast Boy says, this is my worst nightmare, an army of Robins. And then one of them from above, until this, we've not seen one that was different than the other ones. All the rest of them said Crow, and that's all they do. This one says, indeed, Garfield Logan, the name of the dark is Robin.
Yeah.
And he dwells within all of you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the actual Dark Robin who probably leads the rest of them.
Right. And it looks like his R is actually burned into his body.
It looks like it, yes.
Chest.
Then we get back to everybody fighting these ice golems. They find out the reason Nightwing was actually leading them somewhere, and that owl they found was outside of a mausoleum. And they find they thought Batman had removed all those owl statues from the city.
Mm-hmm.
But no, this one. But they know. Wait, this usually guard the nests from these from the Court of Owls. Well, they break into this crypt and find out it's actually an armory, and it is full of axes and weapons and
arrows and
metal.
Yeah, a lot of metal. Well, they're like, well, what are we gonna do now? And that's Arrow looks. He picks up, of course, the arrows.
He picks up arrows. Everybody starts armoring up.
And Dick and Damien have a little bicker right here. Basically, Damien's like, you always doubt me. You treat me like a kid all the time. And there's nothing wrong with me. But what's wrong with you? We gotta find my father. And Dick has to restrain him and just let him know we're fine. We're looking for him. I promise. He's family. We'll always get him. Family comes first.
And I believe in here also, Damian talks about our father a couple times.
Yeah, our father.
But the cool thing is what it shows is they actually do a really good job of showing Damian's having a temper tantrum, sort of, but it's because he's actually, you can see it in the way it's written,
mm-hmm.
that he's scared to death.
Yeah.
That he's going to lose his father.
Yeah, he loves.
And this is Nightwing being the big brother saying, no, mm-hmm. we're not going to stop until we find father.
Nightwing's been bleeding this whole time, right?
Yes. Why that was he... actually, that was explained earlier in the
that
issue.
That was from when he was fighting.
It's from
Freeze.
Another fight. No, no, no.
Oh, no? Oh.
Here, back on another page, it says, your head, the wound you received from Deathwing
and if
with
you look
Simon
at
Hurt's Black
Nightwing.
Blade.
Yeah, and if you look at Nightwing, what was that?
This was back when he was fighting Deathwing in the Nightwing comics.
Which issue was that, though?
I don't remember.
It says it on there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it says Nightwing, Nightwing.
Oh,
so that was the story, the trade that's already out.
Okay.
So, but they come, then they come out of the crypt fully armored up. Harley's got a giant
out.
Metal mace, or,
of course
hammer.
He does.
Croc has armor.
Yeah. Robin has a sword. Mm-hmm. Nightwing has a, what is this? I'm trying to think, what do you call that? A spear and a shield, and of course, Ollie just has more arrows.
Yeah, that would be a halberd, I think is what
okay.
you're looking for.
Thank you. I'm like, what is the name of that?
Well, they go to war against these golems and start smashing everything, basically.
And they take them out pretty good. It's mm-hmm. Mr. Freeze that Damian goes a little crazy on, and Green Arrow tells him, now, Robin. Well, all you had to do is say that because Robin's not stopping. And then that's once again, Nightwing has to restrain him, like, don't kill him. We
yeah.
just want to take him out. And once he's defeated, we get another one of those orbs with the card on it, going back to the man who laughs, or Batman that laughs.
Exactly.
Just like what happened with the Riddler.
Now, we find from here that Nightwing has actually been having problems with metal also.
Yes.
He actually, we're playing someone else's game, according to... Green Arrow, he says, playing someone else's game, running the maze, that they've got the advantage, we can't see it from above. Nightwing, are you okay? The Nightwing in his head is saying, like a drumbeat in my head, one name keeps repeating.
Barbados.
Visions, the darkness, calling. Now, more about this, they said, is you check metal number 2, which we're going to get, which is came out last week, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it says, trust me, Green Arrow, it's not above anything. Nothing from above is controlling this. So you find out that,
Elsewhere,
you have someone speaking to Little Bird, and it looks, they're,
someone
is releasing something in a crypt, and you see, it's that weird Joker Robin, or the Dark Robin, releasing a very, very dark version of the Suicide Squad.
Because a little wicked Robin lives in all of them.
Uh-huh. So then that's the end of this. The next issue is Suicide Squad number 26. Welcome to Poison Ivy's Jungle.
Because she was one of the other rogues that from Batman's rogues that the Batman Who Laughs gave them a card. It was Riddler, Mr. Freeze, Poison Ivy, and what was another one? It was four of them. I can't think of the last one.
I don't remember off the top of my head.
We'll find out, but next one will be Poison Ivy. We're going to have to figure out how they can stop her. And this, guys...
The next one...
Is one we've all been waiting for. This is the big tie-in of one of the Batman.
This is the origin of one of the Dark Batman.
Yeah.
This is Dark Knight's Batman the Red Death.
And this is also written by Williams and DiGiomenico because they've the same team yeah. that does the Flash. Everyone
yeah,
has
the Dark
version. Yeah, it
looks like
the,
whoever does the official
original
comic
version.
Is doing the Dark Knight's Batman version of this character.
Mm-hmm.
So the team of Joshua Williams and Carmine DiGiandomenico, who does the writing and art for Flash, are doing the writing and art for this Batman Dark Metal.
And this guy.
Now, we're going to have to skim through this some, but it's basically showing the origin of the Dark Multiverse.
Yeah, this is these are all worlds where there's the multiverse, and
exactly.
they go on, but the dark part are the things that no one needs to go to. None of them really belong in the cosmics.
Mm-hmm.
They all will get destroyed.
The idea
at some
is the multiverse was created on... if a decision comes up and someone makes a decision to do one thing, there is somewhere in the multiverse that they decided to do the other thing.
Right.
And that is a separate world.
Right.
So say I come up and I'm in a labyrinth, I have to go to the left or the right, I choose to go to the left. Well, in another world, I chose to go right.
And you get a different outcome.
And you have a totally different outcome in a totally different world. Well, in this, have been times when people have made dark decisions and they have started to create the dark multiverse.
Yes. And I mean, that when they say dark... world-shattering. Mm-hmm. I mean, things get destroyed. Not Flashpoint world-shattering. The whole world gets destroyed.
Yes. Well, this starts on Earth 52.
Not going to repair. Yes.
And you have the Flash running.
Wait, not just Earth 52. Earth negative 52.
You sure?
Yeah.
I think that's just Earth 52 for now.
See the negative?
I know, but I don't know if that's the.
I was thinking negative since it's dark.
It's possible. But we have Flash running, and someone's attacking him. And you find out this is actually
these look like the Rogues.
Batman with all of the Rogues' weapons
from the Flash's Rogues.
Yes, all the Flash's Rogues' weapons.
You have Heatwave's gun. He's got Weather Wizard's baton. He's got Captain Cold's gun.
Exactly, and he's attacking the Flash. You find out that the Batman has gone off the deep end somewhat here, and he's decided, you know what? I need the Speed Force. I'm not fast enough to actually affect the change I need to make.
You know what?
So I need the Speed Force so I have more time.
You know what this reminds me of? What just happened with the Titans annual. Which Lazarus contract. With Deathstroke.
Yeah.
He wanted the Speed Force and go back in time to save his family. Well, Batman's doing the same thing. He said when Dick died in here. Jason died. Damian died. He wants his family back. At all costs, he wants his family.
Exactly.
And Barry tells him, this isn't the way to do it. I've done this before. I've went back in time. I've screwed up everything. You can't bring your family back without there being other repercussions for what you're doing.
Yeah.
So this is awesome now, guys. He uses Mirror Master's gun to go into a mirror, come out with this bat tank, even bigger than what he saw in The Dark Knight Returns. By the way, doesn't this Batman remind you something like from the one?
Similar to, Dark Knight Returns.
Even his build, like, look at that.
Well, yeah. But one of the things that happens here is Batman is using all of the Flash's Rogues' weapons against him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Flash tells him, wait a minute, I've already beat all the Rogues multiple times. You think you using their weapons is going to make a difference? Using all their toys is going to make a difference? And Batman tells him, my toys are better. That's when the tank comes out.
Yep.
And you find out that he's actually using the and he needs the Speed Force, but he eventually catches Flash and knocks him out.
Well, this is how he knocks him out. The same thing that Mr. Freeze used to keep Nora alive. He injects that right into Flash's leg in his bloodstream. Now, Flash, we all know when it's something that's going to freeze him, he gets knocked out. Well, how about I put this in your bloodstream?
Well, yeah, it's the cryogenic formula that froze Nora Freeze.
Mm-hmm. And he knocks him out. When he starts to wake up, he looks battered. I mean, Flash's costume is about hanging off of him.
And he is chained to the front of this tank, which we find out that Bruce had actually taken the Cosmic Treadmill designs and modified them so that he could actually force them into the Speed Force and steal the Speed Force energy from the Flash.
Right. And he says, Bruce, this is not what you're supposed to do. This, we have no idea what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's always another way. You always have different things to do. You always have a way to find hope. But Flash is getting ripped apart, guys. I mean, you're seeing his...
Yeah.
He looks dead. But both of them are in this thing. Both.
Mm-hmm.
Barry and Bruce. Remember that. Now we get to Gotham City, and it's like roles being apart. And I promise this is stuff from The Dark Knight Returns. I mean, there's the villains, though. I can't remember them. Those goons that wore the red glasses.
Yes. There was a gang of some sort.
Yeah, I can't remember the name
of the
gang.
I gotta go back and read that at some point.
But they're attacking Gotham right now. This feels like if you mixed what's going on in the Flash's world with the Dark Knight Returns world, and you get this place. And Scarecrow's gonna attack this couple that's just trying to run away from all this chaotic destruction that's going on in Gotham. Before he can kill them with his scythe, you see Red Death. And this is Bruce Wayne and Barry Allen in one, but more so Bruce Wayne's mind, Barry's body.
Yeah, you have a dark writing that is Bruce Wayne talking. Then you got real pale in the background. You can see what Barry's saying at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's like Bruce says, my name is Bruce Wayne, and Barry in the background says, no, Bruce. He says, I am vengeance. Then you hear, stop. I am justice. Don't. I am Batman the Red Death. Please.
So Batman Red Death is now here. He's killing his villains. He's killed Scarecrow. He's killed Riddler. He's killed Penguin.
He's achieving everything
he
wanted
Man
to do.
Man-Bat.
He went through and stopped all these villains that were running wild in the city.
And I love what's going on right here. You know how when anyone gets a Speed Force, you get lightning, even if it's a different color? Well, instead of having lightning, you get millions of bats following him while he's running. I thought that's
awesome. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But he has finally saved Gotham, and now he can actually go out and save the world. And finally he has all the time he needs. And then he looks back and, Wayne Tower is actually falling down still.
Mm-hmm.
Why? The sky is changing on him.
The sky.
Then none of this is correct. It's like he should have. This should be all stopping now. You find out the world is breaking apart. He's not actually fast enough to save it, even with the Speed Force.
Yeah. And this art done is amazing, how Flash's head is moving at like a million miles per hour.
And you get the two of them trying to separate still. And then someone else comes from the background and says, or Bruce is talking about, there's a part of me, something deep inside that still gives me hope that I can save this world.
And then
And someone else says,
even if it means the destruction of another, and this is where you get Barry trying to talk, says, Bruce, it's Barry. Stay away from him. Do not listen. And then Bruce goes back, says, who are you? The voice says, someone much like you, someone who has lost his world simply because it was born down here. And born down here means the
negative. In the dark multiverse.
Mm-hmm. Or dark multiverse. And then Bruce asks him down, and then the man, this we find out with the teeth grinning, this is
Barbados talking to him.
Oh, that's
this
Barbados.
This is Barbados.
Ah, okay.
He's putting together the team of the Dark Batman.
Okay, with the teeth, I was confused here. Well, he says, our worlds aren't meant to last. They are designed to die. This is a cruel law that nature has in its place. And he says, I can feel yourself, you can feel you, and it's time we meet. We meant to end now, but what if I told you that there was a world far, far above what's designed to live? And then this is where the Red Death tells him, tell me more.
Oh, no, this isn't Barbados. Okay,
I thought...
So it says Barbados, my master Barbados sent me.
Okay, I thought so. I'm like, this is the man who, because the teeth.
No, that wasn't Earth negative 52, because if you look at the next one, we go to Earth zero.
Ah, okay.
Which is the main DC world.
Okay.
And then you get to Central City, and you get Iris and Wally... talking around, and Wally's talking about, thanks for meeting me. This is actually 3 days after Challenger Mountain appeared in Gotham. And if you're wondered if this is happening during the main continuity, there's actually references in here where, he says, off the record, Superman sent a message to every hero to keep an eye out for Batman, which we know.
Because he was gone.
Even Robin reached out, and he hates me. Which is, remember, the storyline that's going on in Deathstroke is that Wally was kicked out of the Teen
because,
Titans.
Robin thought he was too incompetent.
Trade Hero, they're just talking back and forth. Also, Wally says Barry should be with us, and she says, I asked Barry for some time because of all the events of when they were sent to the future.
Reverse Flash.
Uh-huh. So this is all during the main continuity. Then out of nowhere, something starts attacking the city, and you find, all of a sudden, Batman, the Red Death, shows up in regular Central City. And when he does, he actually starts destroying things, but his Bat Speed Force, if you could call it that, touches Wally and forces him to age very rapidly.
This was my idea. Now, I might be completely wrong, but these are my thoughts. The Bats. Bats suck blood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm thinking these bats are sucking the life force, actually, not just blood.
Quite possibly,
out of
or
them.
The speed force out of him, which is causing him to age.
Or that. But it's also happened to Iris, too.
Mm-hmm. But at the last minute, our Flash,
Barry
shows up to take out the Red Death Flash.
Yeah.
And if you look, the bats are doing the same thing to him. They start draining off of him. You find out that he figures out, wait, this is Bruce. And he says, if part of you is actually still Bruce inside that armor, then you're still my friend. If there's anything I can count on, it's your compassion. And the Red Death's like, say, what? And then out of nowhere, you see a shining Ankh show up behind Barry. A hand reaches out, and Barry disappears.
Barry asks, Dr. Fate, is that you? Where are you? Mm-hmm. And before he can finish, they're gone. So thank goodness Dr. Fate came in, because I don't think Barry was going to last against this Red Death.
Exactly. But you get the Red Death saying, go ahead and run, Barry. It won't save you. We'll fight again. Barbados foretold the end of our story. I will turn Central City into the home I lost. And then you get to the next page, and you get, save my Gotham, is what he continues. But then someone starts telling a story. He says, let me tell you a secret. All it takes is one bad day.
Now, what does that sound like?
That's from something else.
The Killing Joke.
Okay,
all
yes.
All it took was one bad day.
One bad day, yeah.
And
he was trying to prove that Batman, if you gave him a bad day, would actually be no different than the Joker.
And with this teeth of the Batman who laughs telling this is definitely some type of combination of Batman and the Joker.
Yeah, they're talking about how one bad moment, that should never happen. and the ground beneath you starts to crumble and everything starts to fall apart. And now the seven most dangerous Batmen that never were are here to drag you into the dark. So yeah, one bad day will kill the kill a world, but one bad week, that could kill a multiverse. And this is continued in Dark Knight.
Wait, you forgot he said one more thing after this would kill a multiverse. Ha ha ha.
Oh, starts laughing, yes.
Oh, this is joking.
This is continued in The Dark Knight, or The Dark Knights is continued in Rise of the Murder Machine.
I really am intrigued to see all of these different dark versions of Batman with the Justice League, but the one I'm really waiting to see what story and origin is he going to have is the Batman Who Laughs. That's what I'm most interested in, because what would happen, and how would you get a Batman and Joker to combine?
Mm-hmm.
What had to happen that day?
Well, that leaves only one thing we have left to do. We have to make a trip. And that sounder, this week, as in every week, means that we got to take our weekly trip to the comic shop. This week, it's for October 4th, 2017. And remember, our weekly trip to the comic shop is brought to you by the Shazbots. Check them out on iTunes and Facebook and over at Shazbots.com. Let them know that the DC Superpowers podcast sent you. We actually have, 10 books, 11 books for this week?
I think 10.
I mean, I have the number actually on my other sheet here. We have 10 books this week.
And
starting off with...
Well, we just left off from the Red Death. Now we're going to another Dark Knight Metal tie-in. This is Batman the Daybreaker, issue number one.
This is the second of the Dark Knights that we're going to meet.
And this is the
Green Lantern. This is the third one because the...
Oh, yeah, we have the machine, Death Machine.
Murder Machine was last week, which we will be reviewing next week.
Next week.
That throws me off so many times.
I know, right? We can't talk about it too much. We've got to look on the list.
I know.
Events right here is going to happen are, as the events of the Dark Knight Metal rock the DC Universe, the creatures of the Dark Multiverse stand ready to invade our world. How can even the world's greatest heroes stop a horde of deadly beings that appear to be so powerful, nightmare versions of his familiar figures? Find out in the special issue tie-in. Okay, so this is going to do like what they usually do with most events. They never give you different ones. They give you that same synopsis for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Until you buy the book, you'll know. Now, artist done here is Ethan Van Sciver, and writer is Sam Humphries.
Exactly. Those are the Hal Jordan of the Green Lantern Corps artists, I believe, are doing that one.
See, when you say Hal Jordan Green Lantern Corps, I wonder what other characters will we get in there besides just Hal Jordan?
I don't know. I believe this is going to be the Dark Knight version of Hal Jordan, though.
Yeah, it will. But
they're not going to be doing Simon and Jessica.
No.
Or any of the other Earth Green Lanterns.
Right. The thing that I'm very curious for, since what happened now in Metal, it seems like Barry and Batman, or Barry and Bruce came one. Is this going to happen with the other characters, too?
I'm thinking these Dark Knights books like this, the Murder Machine, the Red Death, the Dawnbringer, all of these are going to be basically the origin stories for each of these seven Batman.
Mm-hmm. But will they all be fused is my question, or will they just
I think they're going to be, I think that's what they're going to be, because each of these, when they fused together, created their dark multiverse version.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Batman, don't do any fusion games on me.
Well, the next one we get is Green Arrow number 32, which is the finale of the Gotham Resistance Metal tie-in that started with Titans and then with Nightwing that we did this week.
Yeah.
And next week we're reviewing Suicide Squad. Well, this week we get the finale, or this week coming up, we're going to get the finale in Green Arrow number 32. Dark Knight's Metal tie-in, Gotham Resistance finale. The Gotham Resistance has fought its way through the lands of fire, poison, destruction, and fear, but no one was ready for the craziest showdown of all. Green Arrow and Black Canary, whose eternal lover's quarrel goes medieval as the team reaches into the hellish, mind-bending world of the Man Who Laughs to uncover the secret to defeating the hordes of the Dark Multiverse. Artist here is Juan Ferreira, and it's written by Benjamin Percy. Interesting. The cover for this, I just saw that you had up there, was awesome.
Yeah, and it looks scary,
too. All of these are creepy, yeah.
Now, this next one. Now, this is a finale of something we've been talking about for the past couple weeks.
And we are so happy for this finale.
Yeah.
This story had a lot of potential. It feels like it fell a little flat to me. And now, well, the nice thing is reading through these, this is Batman number 32.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like I read Batman 31 this morning, or yes, last night, and it took me about 5 minutes to get through the whole book. For some reason, it just felt, was a really.
It's been like that with a couple of them. It's like flip, done.
So I don't know if that just means there's nothing in there to chew on.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't know. It's not catching our attention.
That, and I think also it doesn't help that we know what's coming after this.
Yeah, see, the thing about this is a prequel book. Mm-hmm. This is letting you know what already happened, so we know really all is going
to
happen.
And they still have the whole story. Batman popping the question to Catwoman,
that's
hanging over
the
this,
biggest...
waiting to know. And we know next issue, in issue 33, we get the answer.
That's the question that I'm wanting to answer for. Now, this is Batman issue number 32, the War of Jokes and Riddles finale. This is a finale everyone has been talking about for years to come. In Batman issue number 24, we gave you the question in Batman issue number 32. You get the answer.
Oh, so at the end of this issue, you get the answer.
Yeah. That's what it said. Yeah. And as the riddle, as the Joker and the Riddler desperately fight the supremacy of Gotham City, Batman reveals how far he had to go to the end of the war. Now knowing Batman's greatest sin, Catwoman must make her decision. Will she marry Batman? And the artist done here is Mikael Jen, and writer is Tom King. Now, hearing that, I'm wondering, what did Batman do?
Well, remember, during this so far, he's been actually siding with Riddler so far. Mm. He had made a decision to side with Riddler.
What does he do?
But at the end of this, did he stay with Riddler, or did he somehow take them both out? We'll find out.
No, I'm just worried. That's the only thing when I hear Batman's greatest sin. Greatest sin is actually killing somebody. Or did he let someone die that he knew he could have prevented, but he just let go?
Maybe, because we know after this, Joker and Riddler are both alive.
Right.
And all the villains that are in this are still alive.
So I
don't know what happened.
I have no idea either. We'll find out.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we get Cyborg number 17. Singularity Aftermath Part 4. Cyborg, Beast Boy, and Variant battle an army of deadly mecha humans in their epic and final cybernetic showdown with Anomaly that will seal the fate of mankind. Can Vic and his team save the planet, or will they fall victim to the viral contagion threatening to turn them into mindless automatons? Artist here is Alan Jefferson and Will Conrad, and it's written by John Semper Jr.
Nice. Our next one here is Deathstroke issue number 24, Defiance.
It is nice to see in the cover here, Wally back in the
yeah,
no
I was looking
red.
At that, so I'm like, will he be soon going back to Teen Titans?
Well, you gotta think, in the last couple issues, the team has slowly been falling apart.
Yeah, they need their Wally back.
Mm-hmm.
But this is
no, I'm talking Defiance has been falling apart.
Oh yeah, they have. This is one of the things I'm like, I don't think that's
it's a team built on secrets and lies.
Yeah, see, here's my thing. If they were going to try to start up a new team, I feel like we would have had our own Defiance comic books. But since we didn't have a Deathstroke, yeah. I feel like this team isn't going to last too long. This is Deathstroke issue number 24, Defiance Part 3. As Kid Flash gets to know his teammates, he soon discovers that Defiance is a team built off secrets and lies.
Hey, like I just said.
But Kid Flash might be keeping the biggest secret of them all. Hmm. Meanwhile, a dangerous new threat emerges from the Far East and threatens to destroy Defiance before they even begin. If my computer lets me scroll. Now, there we go. Artist is done by Diogenes Neves and written by Christopher Priest.
Okay. Next up, we get Green Lanterns number 32. And I was so happy to see Jessica and Simon back to...
normal.
Back on, heading to Earth at the end of the last issue. We get... Now, issue number 32 of Green Lanterns.
I've seen these creatures somewhere in some other type of form of media. I'm trying to figure out where.
Pokemon. They're kind of cool looking.
Pokemon, but more humanoid.
Possibly. But we have House Party. Their trip through space and time complete. Simon Baz and Jessica Cruz find themselves back home on Earth. But new family strife makes the duo wonder if the threats to the cosmos were less taxing than dealing with your siblings. Yeah, you got to remember, when they left all their families sin, and their families had no idea what happened.
Yeah, and I think I'm more so worried for Simon than Jessica, because him and his brother, or his brother-in-law slash best friend, they're not on good terms right
now. Yeah. Well, the art is done by Scott Godlewski, and it's written by Sam Humphries.
And next we have your favorite.
That's right. Harley has been amazing.
Harley Quinn issue number 29. Looks like she's running for mayor.
Yes.
Vote Harley part 2. He's already sent killers after her and her loved ones. What more can the mayor do to get Harley off his back, especially now that she's gone public with her campaign against him and become shockingly popular? That's not surprising. The answer will surprise Harley and you. I'm not surprised. It's Harley Quinn. Everyone loves Harley Quinn.
No, this has been a cool story so far.
Artist is Mikra Alfredo, and writer is Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palamani.
Okay. Next up, we get Justice League number 30. Legacy Part 5. Sovereign has come, and she's brought Olympus with her. That's putting more and more into what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
The Great Darkness is growing, and it's ready to consume the Earth. And the Justice League is missing. Batman, Wonder Woman, and the future children of the Justice League must put aside their differences if the present and the future are to be saved. So Wonder Woman's still fighting with them in this.
And also, this makes more sense of why they did want to kill Wonder Woman. If they could stop her from getting that goo
from becoming
on her,
sovereign, yeah,
they would be fine. So yeah, I'm putting $100 on this. Not that.
Well, much, the artist is Eau Claire, you know, Albert and Fernando Passarin, and it's written by Brian Hitch. This is the way Brian Hitch should have been writing this
Dude,
series.
If he was
the
writing
beginning.
A series like that from the beginning, we would have been buying the books every week.
Yeah.
So thank you, Brian. You've done a good job, though. Great, great work. The next one we got here is Nightwing issue number 30.
And Raptor's back.
Yeah, not surprised. Raptor's Revenge Part 1. This is going to be fun. Nightwing rejects Raptor's offer to be his new protege. And since he escaped prison months ago, Raptor has been making his plans to show Nightwing that if he didn't want Raptor as a mentor, he will get him as his worst enemy he ever had. Now Raptor is back in Bloodhaven with a secret plan that will tear the city apart and can put Nightwing out of commission forever. And it looked like he got some help from Blockbuster too.
Mm-hmm.
Art is done by Dana E. Casaria and Miguel Mendoza, and written by Tim Seeley. Tim's been doing some great stuff for this.
Mm-hmm.
And
then we're finishing off with Superman number 32.
With no cover.
The Breaking Point number 2, or part 2. Deathstroke has come to Metropolis, and he's got his sights set on Superman. Slade Wilson gives the Man of Steel an impossible choice. Maintain his ideals and let the love of his life die, or save Lois Lane and become a killer himself. Will Deathstroke push Superman past his breaking point? Artist is Tyler Kirkham, and it's written by James Bonney.
I don't think anyone's going to do that to Superman.
I don't know.
Especially not Slade. Not Slade.
Well, that actually brings us to the end of our list.
Yep.
And with that, I believe it brings us right to the end of our show.
I think so.
So, Vern, we actually had a lot of stuff come into this.
A lot.
Usually, like, if I remember right, the week before San Diego Comic-Con, we had a light week on news and stuff. We didn't have that this week.
No, this is so much. Yeah, because we were waiting on last time. Like, man, we can't get anything. They were just waiting, holding everything off to San Diego. This one, Jeff Johns was in, like, every single article we were talking about.
Exactly.
We had some great comic books to do reviews on, and we have a lot of good synopsis of previews that we had. So this was just a fun-filled week.
Exactly. And like I said, Super Friends, watch the DC Comics Facebook page Friday night at on October 6th, 6 p.m. Or mm-hmm. not October 6th. It's October 6th at 6 p.m.
Yeah, 6, 6.
And can see the,
I didn't say the other one.
Doomsday Clock panel. And you never know. We may start up a thing and tweet with us at DC Super Earth.
At Superpowers DC,
and maybe we'll get some conversation going there. Or, I don't know, maybe we'll do something on our Facebook page talking back and forth.
I feel like we know more people on the Facebook, personally.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, I want to see if we can get Darren in a couple weeks for The Flash.
Okay.
Big fan, so we'll probably be communicating with him on Facebook, too, that night.
Okay. Well, Vernon, why don't you let everybody know how they can actually get a hold of us in between time?
Guys, if you're trying to get us on our social media, as we said before, we've been plugging it all night. If you want us on Twitter, look us up at Superpowers DC. If you want us on Facebook and Instagram, DC Superpowers Podcast.
And then yours.
Oh, I was going to let you do that one. I'll do mine now then. If you want me on my social media, for me, I'm Briello on Twitter, and I am Vernon McWayne on Facebook.
And how about Vernon McWayne Moore?
See, I'm getting my own name mixed up, getting everything else. Vernon McWayne Moore on Facebook, and then you can find my other beautiful face on my Instagram, Hollin' at Wolf.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at GW1Ken. You can find me on Facebook as Ken Rose. You can also get a hold of the show at DCSuperPowersPodcast@gmail.com. We're also members of the Tangent Bound Network and the Weeby Geeks Network at TangentBoundNetwork.com and WeebyGeeksPC.com. And then I believe that brings us to the end, sir.
Yep, unless there's anything else you want to add to this beautiful
show
we had.
That's all I had. I'd said it on our other shows, but Mike over Weeby Geeks, at the Weeby Geeks Network, we're thinking about your brother. We're praying for you. Anybody, just check out the Weeby Geeks feed. You'll know what I'm talking about there. But I just wanted to give you a shout-out and let you know we're still thinking about your brother.
Always.
So, Vernon, thank you for hanging out with us.
Anytime. It was fun. Always fun.
Super Friends, thank you for hanging out, and we'll see you next week.
Take care.